Producer for Free Fire Radio, the very best way to start your day in the North State. Every Monday through Friday from 7 to 9, Carl and Linda Bott bring you what's happening in our community, from politics to entertainment and the issues you care about. If you like what you're hearing, won't you please tell a friend that local live radio is what we're all about? I love my job. Tune in and find out why, right here, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., on the home of Free Fire Media, KCNR 1460.
You know, this time of year in Shasta County, the need to heat your home is probably the last thing on your mind, right? Well, my friend SSD Oil says this is the ideal time to trade in your old monitor heater on a spanking new Toyotomi and save yourself up to $250. Your qualifying model monitor heater earns you a huge allowance on a Toyo stove that will keep you warm and cozy all winter long. This deal is as hot as a running sidewalk in summer. SSD Oil, 241-1167, 241-1167.
Hey, you getting hungry?
Yeah, hungry as a bear.
Oh, yes, the eternal question. What's for lunch?
Fast food?
Nah, I want something that didn't come in a bag.
Someplace fancy.
No, I want a place that has a down-home atmosphere, serves good portions, and has consistently good food.
My friend, you just described Black Bear Diner. They started just up the road in Mount Shasta. They have carried that feeling of home-cooked meals at a great price to more than 100 locations.
They're on Hilltop Drive in Redding. What's that?
It's time to feed the inner bear.
Black Bear Diner.
Cigars, spirits, and diversions. The cigar and pleasure-friendly hotlines are open. 877-DAVE-007. Now, fire up a cigar and pour yourself a cocktail. It's time for the General Cigar Dave.
September is National Bourbon Heritage Month. We celebrate America's native spirit. On August 2, 2007, the United States Senate declared September as National Bourbon Heritage Month, and each and every year we celebrate the quintessential American spirit. And as we know, that all bourbons are whiskey, but all whiskeys are not bourbon. And our guest in the first hour, a legend in the world of bourbon, one of the great master distillers of all time, Fred Noe III, will join us momentarily as we enjoy bourbon whiskey and we talk Jim Beam, the world's number one selling bourbon. Jim Beam cannot go wrong. My favorite is the Jim Beam Black. In fact, I still have some of the Jim Beam Double Black, Double Age. We'll talk with Fred about that, and we discuss everything bourbon. And as we have learned, there is a big difference between whiskey and bourbon, and there are some specific rules. And there's nobody better than to talk about that with legendary master distiller Fred Noe III of Jim Beam. Fred, it is great to have you on the Cigar Dave Show once again. The last time we had you on, I think it was about 3 years ago, and as always, we enjoy talking bourbon and talking Jim Beam, and you are a direct descendant of Jim Beam.
That's correct, Dave. Yeah, it's my pleasure to be chatting with you this morning.
Now, you were up in Kentucky. And before we go on, first of all, a big hearty congratulations. There is a future master distiller in the Noe family because your son and your daughter-in-law just had a baby.
Just had a baby last night, Frederick Booker Noe V. And we are going to call him Booker. So.
Outstanding. Frederick Booker Noe V. Yep, and as we talked, you said, hey, if he wants to become a master distiller, great. If he wants to do something else, that's fine, too. And I'm sure, Fred, you must have a very special bourbon tucked away somewhere, some barrel that's aging secretly for these special occasions.
Man, I don't know about a special barrel. I got a few bottles around that are special. I might have to have a little taste of a 25th anniversary Booker's honor to this, my little grandson's great-grandfather, so that would be fun. Might even find a cigar somewhere, too. Who knows?
Oh, absolutely. Got to have a celebratory cigar. Listen, cigars and bourbon go hand in hand. Fred, let's talk about bourbon whiskey, because many people, there is a misconception that that bourbon has to be made in Kentucky. It doesn't. It's predominantly made in Kentucky. But there are some specifics in terms of bourbon by law. You cannot call a bourbon whiskey bourbon unless it meets certain requirements, the first of which is it must be at least 51% corn.
Correct. Corn has to be the majority grain in your mash bill or recipe. After that, you can play with about anything you want. I mean, the definition of whiskey is a product made from a fermented mash of grain. it's pretty wide open. So bourbon is very specific in the fact that corn has to be your majority grain. And as far as the geographic location, bourbon must be made in the United States. You know, a lot of people try to single it out to Kentucky because 95% of the world's bourbon is made here in Kentucky, but it does have to be made in the United States.
The other thing, the other requirement is that it must be aged in new oak, American oak barrels.
Correct. Yeah, it has to be a new barrel. You can't reuse the barrels one time. I mean, and that allows us to get the you know, job done in the time we do. And since we cannot add colors or flavors, 100% of the color and probably 70% of the flavor comes from that new oak barrel that we age the bourbon in.
Fred, there's a lot of controversy over the name bourbon. Did bourbon originate from Bourbon County, Kentucky? Was it the Bourbon family of Louisiana? What's your take?
Well, I think you're partially right on both. Here in Kentucky, Bourbon County, there is a big tie back to France. And if you look, we have a town, Paris, Kentucky. We have a town we call Versailles, but it's spelled just like Versailles. And in Louisville comes from King Louis. But really, the bourbon, how it kind of got its name, was a lot of the state of Kentucky was Bourbon County, and they, when people started getting the whiskey from Bourbon County, they started calling for that whiskey from Bourbon County. Hence, that's where bourbon got its name, and that's, but it all does kind of go back to that, bourbon family and our ties here in the state of Kentucky to the France. So that's, you know, you are right on both those accounts that, you know, it goes back to the Bourbon family and Bourbon County here in Kentucky.
Fred Noe III, master distiller of Jim Beam, and I should also say some of their single-barrel brands as well, certainly Booker's and Basil Hayden's, one of my favorite. Love Basil. Love them all, actually. Fred, you can't go wrong with bourbon. When we look at cigars and we look at bourbon, both really experienced very similarities in the marketplace. They were very popular going back in the 40s and the 50s, even the 60s, and then they went on a downtrend, and all of a sudden, about 20 years ago, we saw this resurgence, this renaissance, not only with cigars, but with bourbon as well. What do you attribute that bourbon renaissance to?
I think a lot of that, you know, rekindling the fire under bourbon goes back to four of the guys I call the elder statesmen of the bourbon industry. When you look at Jimmy Russell from Wild Turkey, Parker Beam from Heaven Hill, Elmer T. Lee from Blanton's, and most certainly my father, Booker Noe, you know, in the 70s and early 80s, they started looking at creating premium bourbons, and they went out on the road and started educating people on what bourbon was all about. And I think folks didn't really know about bourbon, didn't know what, you know, there was kind of your dad's drink or your grandfather's drink. But then, you know, they got out there and started showing people, hey, it's more than just a shot at the bar like the cowboys that bellied up to the bar in the Western movies. You know, you can make cocktails. You can enjoy it neat on the rocks in drinks. And it opened up people to experiment with bourbon. And I think that's what kind of got people looking at it. And then more and more education, the consumers were educated on bourbon, and they started being inquisitive. Because if you look back in history, a lot of times people were dead set on a certain beverage that they enjoyed, and that's what they drank. But as time has evolved, people are more inquisitive, and they try different things when they go out. And I think they discovered, hey, bourbon is not as bad as I think it is, you know. And there's something here. If it's presented right and it's not too strong, you can enjoy it. I always tell people, if you taste a bourbon and make a face, then it's too strong. Bring it down to a strength that's pleasing to your palate so you can enjoy it. And that was kind of what my dad and the other elder statesmen were teaching people about bourbon, and I think that's what rekindled the fire under the bourbon category.
Yeah, there's been a huge resurgence of all the brown spirits. When you look at bourbon and you look at Scotch whiskey and Irish whiskey, it's just a very hot segment. And just like the renaissance, the boom in cigars took the cigar manufacturers by surprise, same thing with the bourbon distillers. And both are similar in that you can't just say, okay, we need to up our production. Great, let's increase our production by 50% and we can get it out to market in a month. It doesn't work that way because you have to put those in barrels, and it takes, you can't rush the hands of time. It takes a minimum of, you know, 4 years, sometimes longer. So what's interesting to me is there are more barrels filled with bourbon aging in Kentucky than there are people in Kentucky, which is an amazing fact.
Yeah, it is pretty cool.
But it
I mean,
takes time. You can't just rush
Governor
it.
Beshear, he always liked that statistic when he put it out there. There are more barrels of bourbon aging here in Kentucky than there are folks living here, which it's a pretty strong industry here in our state.
It really is. And what's interesting is there are 1.5 barrels for every person living in Kentucky. So I think there's around 6 or 7 million barrels right now of bourbon that are being aged. And you can't just fill it and say, okay, great, we're going to come to market. It just has to be right. And I think when you look at Jim Beam, consistency is the key, because when you have Jim Beam, whether it is from today or from 3 years ago, it is a very consistent product, as are all the Jim Beam bourbon whiskeys.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that's something we try to protect, the legacy of our bourbon, and to keep producing it the same way that it's been produced right here in Claremont since Prohibition was repealed. And, you know, we keep using the same yeast strain, the yeast that Jim Beam created right after Prohibition. We're still using it today. And so, you know, that's a lot of it. Just keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. That's what my father instilled in me, and my son is learning from me at this time, and that's why we try to keep it as close to the way we've been making it as we can.
Well, I've got in front of me, before we get tasting in just a few minutes, I've got the Jim Beam Original. I've got the Jim Beam. Now, this is interesting. I've got, now it's called the Jim Beam Black, but I still have a bottle. Actually, I've got two bottles of the Jim Beam Black Double Aged, which had an age statement, 8 years. And I remember,
correct,
when you were changing, I said, I better pick up some of these because I love these. But you've added so many additionals. You've got the Devil's Cut now, the Jim Beam Rye, the Double Oak, the Bonded, even some of the flavored whiskeys, the Signature Craft, which we'll get into, as well as the Booker's and the Basil Hayden's, also amongst my favorites. But give us a history of Jim Beam, because obviously you are now the third in a line of master distillers. Your son now is the fourth, and maybe your grandson will be the fifth. But give us a history of Jim Beam bourbon.
Well, it actually goes back even further than that. It goes back to 1795 when Jacob Beam made his first barrel of whiskey on Hardin Creek, which is from where we're located right now in Claremont. It's about 30 miles, as Dad would always say, as the crow flies. I guess that crow flew in a straight line. But that's, you know, he started making whiskey in the early days of Kentucky when land was granted to folks that would grow corn. And they were trying to get westward movement from the original 13 colonies. And old Jacob, who came from Maryland, he came down with his wife, and they settled right here close by on Hardin Creek, and he started making whiskey. And then his son, David Beam, came along, moved the business up here to Bardstown to get closer to the new railroad that was just starting to blaze the trail through this new territory, what is now the Commonwealth of Kentucky, to be able to get, you know, raw materials in and to ship out finished bourbon. So then the business stayed there. David's son, David M., came into the business, carried it on. His son, James Beauregard, or Jim Beam, came along, the fourth generation, and he was running the business here in Bardstown when the dreaded Prohibition came about. And Jim Beam shut the business down, sold the property, sold the distillery, and got away from it because he did not want to go to jail. He knew there was going to be some illegal activity go on because he knew that the American public was not going to quit drinking just because the government in Washington, D.C. passed a law that says we can no longer possess, drink, or have beverage alcohol. And Jim Beam, during that Prohibition era, tried his hand at citrus farming down in Florida, which his daughter said he failed at miserably. He also tried some coal mining in eastern Kentucky. That didn't pan out too well for him. And his third business venture was digging limestone rock where our distillery in Claremont is located today. And when Prohibition was repealed, he cranked the old Murphy Barber distillery up that was located close to where he was digging this limestone rock and put our family back in the business. You know, he did that at the age of 70. And it always amazes me, heck, I'm 61, and if I can get the grass cut here at the house, I'm tickled to death. I couldn't imagine starting a distillery 9 years from now, but I'm always grateful that my great-grandfather, Jim Beam, had that foresight to get our family back in the bourbon business. And then his son, T. Jeremiah, came along and ran the business, helped his dad get it started after Prohibition. He ran it. He had no children. So when Uncle Jerry needed to bring another family member into the business or desired to, he had to look to his sister's family. Hence, my father was the firstborn son. That's why the last name went from Beam to No on actually the sixth generation of Beam Distillers. And then Dad brought me into the business, and I've brought Freddie into the business. And if little Booker down the road decides he wants to become a bourbon distiller, I'm sure the opportunity will be there for him if that's what he chooses to do. And that's pretty much our history from 1795 till today. And there's been a Beam family member making the whiskey and bourbon and all of our products ever since the very beginning of the company.
Fred Noe III, Master Distiller at Jim Beam Bourbon and Distilling, our guest as we celebrate National Bourbon Heritage Month here on the Cigar Dave Show. An incredible story, really, in just persistence. I mean, at 70, really, with the entrepreneurial spirit. And you actually have come out, Jim Beam has come out, with Jacob's Ghost White Whiskey to celebrate, commemorate the founder and first distiller. And that is a white whiskey. So that is basically really unaged. That doesn't go in the barrels. That's pretty much what the first Jim Beam tasted like.
Well, we actually aged the Jacob's Ghost and then polished out any color that it picked up because we wanted to smooth it out a little bit. I'm sure.
So it did go in barrels.
Jacob, yeah, but we did put it in barrels, and but we didn't, you know, we polished out the color that it picked up in the short time we aged it, so it still would be clear. We tried to make a white whiskey that was very palatable and could be used in a lot of cocktails, but we were commemorating Jacob's making clear whiskey.
So that's not really like what we would consider like a white dog or a moonshine because it does go in barrels and it is aged, but
right.
Just for a
that
shorter
could have
time.
Actually, if you want to really get technical, we could have called it bourbon. Now, you couldn't call it straight bourbon because it wasn't aged for 2 years, and it was actually in a new barrel. So, I mean, if we really technically, we could have called that product a bourbon whiskey, but you could not have called it straight because it was not aged for 2 years. But it was aged in a new barrel for a period of time. So, I mean, that's all the law says on bourbon. So we met the aging requirement for bourbon, but you couldn't call it straight because it wasn't aged at least 2 years.
Interesting. And we see a movement now towards single-barrel bourbons. And what is interesting is Jim Beam was really the first to come out with a single-barrel bourbon going back to Knob Creek, I think, about 25 years ago.
Well, we were really slower on the single barrel than a lot of others because my father was not a huge fan of single barrel bourbons due to the fact of the variation in flavor from barrel to barrel. And Dad, he always liked to mingle the barrels together for consistency. Like you said, how Jim Beam was always consistent year after year after year after year. That was something my father hung his hat on, making the bourbon the same, as close to the same as you can every time. But as I started traveling, I started seeing that people like the slight inconsistencies of single barrel products. And that's where we decided to get into that single barrel market because people kept asking me, why don't you do a single barrel? Why don't you do a single barrel? Why don't you do a single barrel? when I'm traveling, if I hear something enough, then I know there is interest for a product. And so that's where the single barrel came from, was from customers asking me, why don't we do a single barrel? We weren't really the first. I'll tell you, the one who I think was probably the first was Elmer T. Lee up at Blanton's in Frankfurt. Because Blanton was always a single barrel bourbon, because at the time Dad was releasing the small batch bourbons, Elmer was doing the Blanton's, which was a single barrel product. And Dad liked it, but he didn't like the idea of it being inconsistent every time.
Well, your dad may not have liked it, but certainly Knob Creek now is the number one selling small batch bourbon in the country.
Yeah, Dad, single barrel wasn't his thing, but that was something that, he didn't appreciate, but, he liked things different than, I think that's why there's so many different bourbons on the shelf. Everybody doesn't like the same thing. But we definitely got into it, and it's also given us an opportunity to let customers come to our distillery and select a barrel and buy the entire barrel of bourbon.
And if I'm not mistaken, you launched others in your small batch collection. I'm familiar with Basil Hayden's because I love the Basil Hayden's. It's got a very unique bottle, and the way that it's encased with a very unique circular, almost looks like a what you'd see around a barrel. But you have Basil Hayden's and Knob Creek, and there were two others also that you added to the craft collection.
Yeah, Booker's, Dad's namesake, and then Baker's is one that's, it's been very successful too. And within the family, we've got our Knob Creek rye, a Knob Creek single barrel rye as well. And so it's, our small batch family has grown significantly since Dad released the original four back, in the early 90s.
And the Basil Hayden's, to me, for the price, the aging on it, absolutely spectacular. I mean, just a very smooth. And if somebody wants a bourbon whiskey that's not going to overpower them, that's going to be very smooth, that's going to be very gentle, to me, the Basil Hayden's, you can't go wrong with.
Oh, yeah, you're exactly right. That's one of our guardrails on Basil Hayden, is approachable and easy to drink. And, I think people who are playing with bourbon, if you want a lighter bourbon that's, got a nice, clean finish, Basil Hayden definitely fits that bill, and it's done very, very well. People have discovered it and love it.
And real quickly, Booker's. When you look at Booker's, it almost looks like it's a bottle of wine. It doesn't look like a bottle of bourbon.
Well, that's actually a stock wine bottle that my father did pick. And, Booker's being bottled straight from the barrel, uncut, unfiltered, is the reason that was Dad's baby. But his theory was, if people can reduce it to the strength that they want to drink it. Every other product that we do, we bring it down to the bottling strength with demineralized water. Booker's comes straight from the barrel, right to the bottle, and so it's bourbon in its purest form.
Fantastic. Our guest, Frederick Booker Noe III, the master distiller of Jim Beam and their craft collection. And we come back, we'll get into tasting some of these great bourbon whiskeys from Jim Beam as we celebrate National Bourbon Heritage Month.
The General is always on Twitter, delivering breaking news, giving you the latest intel on cigars, and battling the enemies of pleasure. Chat with the General now at Cigar Dave Show.
In 1964, Jose O. Padron began rolling cigars bearing his name in modest surroundings with one guiding principle: always focus on quality, never on quantity. Nearly 40 years later, Padron cigars are recognized for their superior taste and majestic construction. The result of Padron controlling all aspects of the cigar-making process, including planting their own seeds, growing and curing their own tobacco, and constantly supervising the rolling room. To Wall Street, it is called vertical integration. To the Padron family, it's called making great cigars. The Padron lines include the Padron 1964 Anniversary Series and the Padron Tradition traditional line. All Padron cigars are wrapped in Nicaraguan sun-grown Habano tobacco, available in natural or maduro. Experience Padron. For your Padron retailer, call 1-800-453-5635. When Padron is on the band, quality is a matter of family honor.
Surgeon General warning. Tobacco use increases the risk of infertility, stillbirth, and...
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You'll never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Get ready to laugh because Riverfront Playhouse is bringing you a show about a normal guy who has a ton of everyday problems that everyone can relate to. Hilarity will ensue as Jasper navigates from mundane career obstacles, awkward romantic encounters, right down to the daily commute. Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present Somewhere in Between, written by Craig Pospisil, directed by Chris Gomez. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store on Placer Street in Reading. Showtimes Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, September 22nd through October 13th. Mature themes and language, so viewer discretion is advised.
Magician Matt Franco brings illusion and humor to Reading's historic Cascade Theater September 9th. As the only magician ever to win America's Got Talent, Matt Franco's innovative approach to magic is fueled with improv and driven by pure joy. Experience the boundless fun and stunning sense of wonder with Magician Matt Franco at the Cascade Theater September 9th. Get tickets today at 530-243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
Monday Night Football is back, baby. Raiders, Niners, Seahawks, Cowboys, Vikings, where you at? Bet the Bookie returns again this year with Kenny Breedlove. Win cash and prizes every Monday night. Monday Night Football kicks off this year with a doubleheader on September 10th. The Jets versus the Lions, and the Rams take on the Raiders. Come get your football fix at Shameless O'Leary's. The best wings, burgers, and Irish nachos in town, plus over 16 brews on tap and over 100 unique whiskeys behind the bar. Wear your favorite team jersey and come play Bet the Bookie every Monday night. It's free to play and an absolute blast for couples or serious football fans. Place your bet and win. Don't forget Sunday Funday with the NFL ticket and Sunday brunch. Bloodies, mimosas, and a full breakfast menu. If you want to watch football, make it Shameless O'Leary's, California Street, downtown Reading.
Football, you say? Well, I've got $100 here. Says football's supposed to be played with your feet.
I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, the host of the Conscious Living Show, every Saturday, 11 to noon, here on KCNR 1460. You'll laugh, cry, and perhaps be shocked by my frank and honest conversations. I often team up with my husband, Dr. Mark Pierce, and no one makes me squirm or giggle quite like he can. We are the yin-yang, east-west, of most topics, yet you can always feel the love and respect between us. Visit DrNancySuttonPierce.com to keep this conversation going.
To get me high, and then I'll say goodbye. No way, good day, she hung me out to dry. One bottle of bourbon and I still sober from you. One bottle of bourbon just can't down out the blue.
The General and Global Alpha Male in Chief, as we celebrate National Bourbon Heritage Month with Frederick Booker Noe III, Master Distiller at Jim Beam Bourbon. And Fred, I have in front of me a variety of incredible whiskeys coming from your distillery in Claremont, Kentucky. First, let's talk about your flagship, if you will, the Jim Beam Original. Now, very quickly, I've noticed that you've taken age statements off all of the bourbons, and that's not uncommon. We're seeing that. Tell us why that has been done.
A lot of it, when you state the age, every drop in the bottle has to be of at least that age. With the Jim Beam White Label, for example, it's 4 years old, and we get everything to a four-year taste profile. So it's, you know, some of them might be a little older than four, some right on four, especially with the older things where we take, for the black, for example, we'll have some that's a little better than 7 or 8 years old, some that's a little younger, trying to hit that 7-year taste profile. And that's the thing is, it was tightening up our inventories are so tight that when you start putting an age statement, it makes it tough to keep up with the demand curve. It's off the charts right now for a lot of these products. If we stuck to age statements, a lot of products would disappear from the shelf because
gotcha,
of
but you're still,
not enough
you're still
there.
And you still maintain the consistency. So let me, before we I get ready to say cheers and sample the Jim Beam Kentucky Straight Bourbon, you have something that you have kind of made famous, and that's called the Kentucky Chew.
Well, my father actually did. It was Dad's tasting technique, you know, where he put the bourbon in his mouth, rolled it around, and chewed on it. And the reason he did that was, you know, different parts of your mouth pick up different flavors. And so he rolled a bourbon all around and chewed on it as the whole time pulling a little air into his mouth. And that was his way of tasting, trying to assess the flavors. And then when he swallowed it, he would draw a little air in to assess the finish. And a whiskey writer picked up on Dad's tasting technique and said, "What do you call that?" And Dad, out of the blue, always had an answer. He said, "I call that the Kentucky Chew." And it kind of stuck on Dad. And after, you know, he passed away and I started traveling, people kept saying, "Who'd seen Dad? Are you going to do the Kentucky Chew?" So I would put it in my mouth and do the same thing for people, and it still kind of stuck with us.
Well, that's what I'm going to do, Fred, right now. I'll say cheers, and this is a taste of the Jim Beam Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. Very smooth. Mm-hmm. Definitely gets some of the oakiness, but just right. Not a lot of afterbite. It's pretty smooth, and this is the number one selling bourbon in the world, I believe.
Absolutely. I think the thing that makes the Jim Beam White Label so good and the number one bourbon in the world is the mixability of it. As you just drank it neat, but if you want to do it with a plus one, say a ginger ale or a Coke or some other, you know, plus one or soda, people can mix it or you can drink it neat, you know. So it's a very versatile bourbon that folks who are just starting to play with bourbon have found that maybe that's where they get started. They see it in a bar, they try it, and it kind of makes their inquisitive minds think of bourbon, and after they get used to the flavor, then they start looking at other bourbons on the shelf.
Let's talk, now I'm going to sample the Jim Beam Black Extra Age Bourbon, and this one, the highest awarded accolade in the bourbon category at the 2016 International Wine and Spirits Competition. So as I swirl it around on the nose, definitely getting some citrus notes.
All right. Now that one is aged, the one that you have in your hand there. We call it double aged because it's aged twice as long as our Jim Beam White Label. The White Label is 4 years, twice as long as it has to be aged to be a straight. But this one's aged twice as long as that. So it was, you know, every drop in that bottle was 8 years old. And, you know, more the barrel comes into play, much more barrel. And you got a little more strength.
I think little more strength, a little bit more sizzle, I'll say, on the palate. I just did the Kentucky Chew, getting a little sizzle on the tongue. A little bit of warmth, not a ton of warmth, but just enough going back down the throat. Very, very pleasant.
Very, very good bourbon. Very versatile. Folks who want to drink it on the rocks or neat can do that, or you can mix it in a cocktail.
All right, now we're going to do something a little different. We're going to go to your Jim Beam Pre-Prohibition Rye. Now, as we know, rye, definitely a lot of spiciness, a lot of pepperiness. So I'm going to say cheers, and I'm going to do the Kentucky Chew as I sample this, and tell me what makes this Jim Beam Rye Pre-Prohibition so unique.
Well, our Jim Beam Rye is not a 100% rye whiskey. You know, by law, rye whiskey has to be at least 51% rye. Dad and the Beam family always enjoyed still putting some corn in our rye whiskey to give it a little sweetness. You know, and that's why we're not, and we made a lot of rye, but we do add a little corn, and I think it helps balance our rye whiskey out. It gives a little sweetness. We also got the malted barley that we use for our conversion of starches to sugar before fermentation. And that's kind of what makes, I think, ours a little different than others, because if you don't, you know, use the malt, then you have to add enzymes and other things to get the conversion. But we're making this as an old-style rye whiskey, and we've been making it this way for many, many years, since before I was probably ever born. I'm 61, and Rye's been around. It's been through a couple of upgrades. I mean, we went from a yellow label to a green label, from 80 proof to 90 proof, but it's still basically the same whiskey, just a little higher proof and a little different label.
All right, Fred, now I'm going to move into your Jim Beam signature craft. I've got your quarter cask, and this is aged 8 years. Tell me about your signature craft real quick as I get ready to sample it.
Well, the signature craft was an experiment we did several years ago where we tried to think outside of the barrel, and we did some different mash bills, did that quarter cask finish where we took the bourbon out of the 200-liter barrels and put it into some 50-liter barrels to give a little more wood influence on the finish. And our different mash bills, we did a red winter wheat, we did triticale, we did an extremely high rye, we did a rolled oats, and six row barley, and, you know, and a brown rice. That was the six. And since then, we've actually revisited the brown rice mash bill. So you'll see that one coming out after it ages out a little more. But that was an experiment that we did just to kind of think, as we said, outside of the barrel about 15, 20 years ago.
Well, the experiment worked, and I'm getting a lot of vanilla and definitely a lot of oakiness on this, with a lot of warmth coming back down on the palate. And lastly, and we could go on, we could taste every single one, but let me go over to your small batch series. Let's talk about that Basil Hayden's, because that to me is so approachable as I pour it here. Mm-hmm. It's just a very smooth, very balanced, just a very, very tame in personality whiskey.
Yeah, that Basil Hayden, what we do on it is we keep the corn still above 51%, but we double the amount of rye that we put into the mash bill. We age it out and bottle it at 80 proof, so it still is very approachable, and put it in that unique package you talked about with the belly band and the label that looks like a set of overalls. And Basil has done very, very well and is growing at an astronomical rate. I mean, people are discovering it and loving it. And Basil is a great one. If you want a soft, easy-to-drink bourbon, Basil Hayden definitely fits the bill.
Yep, very, very pleasant. And what's unique about this, you said it's got double the rye content, yet I'm not getting any of that peppery spiciness when I taste this.
But we don't. It's not like a rye whiskey, because you're still over 51% corn.
Right.
You're just getting a little bit of the rye in the mash bill. You know, so it's still basically a bourbon, but we got just a little bit of rye to give it a slight little bit of bite, but nothing like a rye whiskey.
And you've added so many new ones, and we'll just briefly talk about it, but your Jim Beam Devil's Cut has been very popular. You've got certainly a lot of the flavored whiskeys now, the Red Stag and the vanilla, and that's been very popular. As a whiskey or bourbon purist, to me, I just don't like that sweetness, but it's become very popular. But that Devil's Cut has really become a very very heavily popular bourbon.
Yeah, Devil's Cut, we sweat some more of the bourbon that's still trapped in the wood out by putting water in the used barrels. And that gives it a little more of the tannins and a little more of the wood influence from the oak barrels that we aged the bourbon in. Now, Devil's Cut's been a fun one to play with and to do, and it has become pretty successful.
Now, I'd ask you what your favorite Jim Beam is, but I know you're going to tell me the answer. They're all your children. You love them all. But there's got to be one that you gravitate to now and then.
Booker's is the one that I gravitate towards because Dad created it, you know, and it bears his name and my name. And I do select the barrels for Booker's since Dad passed away. But, you know, it's a little higher strength, so it just depends on what I'm doing. If I'm home, that's why I said I'll probably enjoy a Booker's tonight after we go visit my grandson in the hospital, and I get back home and I can sit back on the patio and relax. I think that's be what will happen. We'll have a Booker's 25th anniversary in honor of the new little Booker No, who just made his debut into the world last night.
Well, Fred, we'll send you up some celebratory cigars. I think we'll get some. In fact, I'm going to see the guys over at Davidoff right here in the cigar city of Tampa. So we'll get you some celebratory cigars. And next time up in Kentucky, I will absolutely give you a shout and would love to visit you, and we'll do a tasting. And, Fred, we really appreciate it. Frederick Booker Noe III, master distiller legend in the bourbon whiskey area. And congratulations on Frederick Booker Noe V, who was born yesterday.
Thank you. Thank you, Dave. You guys have a great weekend.
You too. Fred, as always, great to speak with you. And I'll tell you what, I could sit here and taste every single Jim Beam in the line, and maybe we will over the next couple of weeks as we celebrate National Bourbon Heritage Month, front and center on the Cigar Dave Show.
Never miss a minute of the show when you download the Cigar Dave mobile app for Apple, Android, and Kindle devices. You can listen to our 24/7 continuous stream of the latest show or download the recent podcasts to listen to anytime on your mobile device. Get the Cigar Dave mobile app in the App Store. Search Cigar Dave.
Gurkha has just launched three new cigars at the Cigar Dave Alpha Pleasure Fest on the water in Buffalo. The Gurkha Chateau Privé, the Gurkha Marquesa, and Gurkha Ghost Gold. All three unique flavor profiles. The Gurkha Chateau Privé, more traditional, mild, and creamy cigar, typically found in many of the high-end Dominican cigars. Exquisite flavor, very velvety on the palate.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Are we enjoying the unity and peace our immoral, godless leaders promised if we would just give up the idea of God? No, we are experiencing violence, hatred, immorality, chaos, and much more, all of which the Bible calls lawlessness. Sadly, those practicing lawlessness are living under a strong delusion of lies as they reject God's truth and have pleasure in unrighteousness. This strong delusion will keep them from knowing the truth that can make them free. If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon. And remember, it's worth the ride.
One of the most important tenets of your life is ensuring that your loved ones are cared for even after you're gone. Having a will is important, but can be bogged down in probate court for years. What are your options? Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in estate planning and probate matters. Does a living trust solve all your legal concerns? Douglas Wright will guide you through the many legal aspects of planning for your future and the future of your loved ones. Douglas Wright Law, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or DouglasWrightLaw.com.
The General resumes hosting maneuvers in 1 minute. Quiet, please. Cigar Dave returns in 5, 4, 3, 2,
with an unlimited and secure supply of pleasure sticks available for the general to enjoy. It's time for National Cigar Litation Maneuvers.
The General from Command Center Alpha back in the cigar city of Tampa. And I've just been surrounded by Pendragon's Royal Sultan and Pendragon's Royal Baron, my two German Shepherds. As soon as they got whiff that I am going to be conducting litation maneuvers and libation maneuvers, they just sat next to me on each side. They love the aroma of fine cigars, but they do not get a lick of my libation. Well, maybe I will put, you know what, maybe one day I'll give them just one lick so they can enjoy some fine bourbon as we celebrate National Bourbon Heritage Month. And I have just pulled out a cigar that will go very nicely with my libation of choice as we had Frederick Booker Noe III, Fred Noe, master distiller at Jim Beam, for the first portion of this edition of the Cigar Dave Show. We'll continue with one of their great libations, but I've just pulled out a brand new cigar that was launched at the Cigar Retailers Convention mid-July, Las Vegas, Nevada. Nothing like 110 degrees in the middle of the summer in Vegas. But I've just pulled out the new La Gloria Cubana Esteli. I was extremely impressed by this new addition to the La Gloria Cubana portfolio. The cigar is incredibly smooth. It's rich. Just beautiful construction, feels nice in the hand, comes in three different sizes, uses a Jalapa Nicaraguan wrapper, uses a Nicaraguan Hamastron binder, as well as fillers from Hamastron and Honduras. And actually, I should say the binder is from the Hamastron Valley in Honduras. I spoke too soon. So it's got a Nicaraguan Jalapa wrapper, Hamastron Honduran binder, and it's got fillers from Nicaragua and Honduras. Three different sizes, a Robusto, a Toro, and a Gigante. The Gigante, 6 1/4 inches in length with a 60 ring gauge. That is 60/64ths of an inch in diameter. So that's a big ring gauge size cigar. But I pulled out the Toro, 5 1/2 inches in length, 54 ring gauge, or 54/64ths of an inch in diameter. Smoked several of these cigars at the General Cigar Booth in, I should say, not really a booth, it's huge. It was probably about 2,500 square feet, 3,000 square feet, very big area on the convention center floor of the Las Vegas Convention Center. And every brand had their own little area. So they had umpteen cigars to sample, and I pulled it, and I started talking to Steve Abbott, the brand manager for La Gloria Cubana. And he started telling me about the cigar. And he goes, General, here, just light one. So I started, took the Robusto, cut the end, started to light, was blown away. The flavor was incredibly smooth. Just the construction, but what really blew me away was the price point on these cigars. The Robusto was $4.99, the Toro $5.99, and the Gigante $6.99. I couldn't believe it. They're made down in General Cigars Factory in República Dominicana, or the Dominican Republic, but I could not believe it. And actually, I spoke too soon on that. I forgot that Steve had told me that every cigar that La Gloria Cubana rolls is made in the Dominican, with the exception of this new Esteli, which is rolled at their Esteli factory. So that's why they call it Esteli. But again, just blew me away. The cigars began shipping a couple of weeks ago. Price point, unbelievable value. So I will smoke the La Gloria Cubana Esteli as we kick off National Bourbon Heritage Month tasting maneuvers.
Cigar-altering and highly sharpened leaf-exposing device.
In my hot right hand, I've got my self-sharpening double-edged stainless steel guillotine ready to go.
Maximum BTU flame-throwing and heat-producing apparatus.
Well, I've just unleashed the fire in this Alec Bradley tabletop burner lighter. It looks like a Bunsen burner. Very unique lighter. Huge, huge tank. And you can hear me the fuel, but it just looks like a Bunsen burner. You get a nice even flame, and it's just a great way. If you've got a desk, if you've got a cigar lounge at your house, or even outside, just a great way to light your cigar, and that's what I will use today on my La Gloria Cubana Esteli.
Cigar pre-litation checklist complete. No faults detected. Area clear of all enemies of pleasure. Approval to go throttle up in 3, 2, 1.
Perfect cut off my La Gloria Cubana Esteli, and I will gently toast the foot of this cigar, taking my time. And I will tell you that in the next hour, we will be joined by noted football analyst and scout Chris Landry of Landry Football. Sergeant Steve, it's LandryFootball.com, correct?
That is correct.
I always want to say Landry Sports. I don't know why. But LandryFootball.com, one of the preeminent analysts and draft gurus in the country as we talk about the opening of the National Football League two nights ago, Thursday night. Kind of, you know, I fell asleep after the first half. It was a really boring game, the first half. Ended up falling asleep, and the Eagles won 18-12 over the Falcons. But I got to tell you, the college games the first weekend were far more exciting than the first NFL game last night. Let me puff and rotate on my LaGuardia Cubana Esteli here. Great draw. Oh, yeah. Wow. Again, $5.99 for this cigar. It's incredible. Great taste. I tell you what. Getting a little sweetness. A little bit of nutty taste on the palate here. On a medium-bodied side, very, very nice. Love this taste profile. Not overly powerful, but incredibly smooth. Just, I tell you what, whether this cigar was $5.99 or $25.99, it's a fabulous cigar. You can't go wrong. Highly recommend the new La Gloria Cubana Esteli. And I need a special bourbon to pair with it as we celebrate National Bourbon Heritage Month, and especially celebrating our guest in the first portion of this edition of the Cigar Dave Show, Fred Noe III, master distiller at Jim Beam. So without any further delay.
Scotch, bourbon, and beer. Commence thirst-quenching libationary maneuvers.
We spoke with Fred about Knob Creek, a Kentucky straight bourbon whiskey. That was the first of the four Jim Beam small batch bourbon brands that were released 25 years ago. They wanted to go for a higher-end spirit market. In addition to Knob Creek, they launched Booker's, Basil Hayden's, which I absolutely love, and Baker's. But the Knob Creek was the very first. It is bottled at 100 proof, so it is higher proof than the regular Jim Beam. 100 proof meaning 50% alcohol by volume. Used to be aged for 9 years. They no longer carry an age statement. We're seeing that more and more with bourbons. There was a shortage of bourbons, so consequently they're taking the age statement off the bottle, but still maintaining the consistency. Very unique rectangular bottle. It's got a corked on wax seal top. I have just pulled that off, and I will pour some of this Knob Creek. I'm going to pour it in my little whiskey snifter here. And it comes not only in the original now 100, the Knob Creek 100 proof, but it also comes in a rye, which is very, very nice. They're straight rye. It's got a smoked maple, the single barrel, but let me say cheers here. Take a sip of my Knob Creek. Wow. Definite pre-prohibition style bourbon. A lot of flavor. A lot of... you taste the char from the wood, the barrel. A lot of flavor on this. And it goes very nicely with my La Gloria Cubana Esteli. Outstanding. Great hour with Frederick Booker Noe III, master distiller of Jim Beam Distillery and Jim Beam Bourbons. Next hour, we'll be joined by Chris Landry, and I will break out Master Thespian, Sedavius Generalis, Cory Booker, senator from New Jersey, gave me the opportunity. Hour two!
We learned it the hard way. Wildland fire is a fact of life for us. The only real protection for your home and property is defensible space. Remove ladder fuels, brush, and trees that can take the fire right into your house. But cleaning up your landscape is a big job, and Cal North Forestry is up to the task. They are the professionals. Cal North Forestry. Give your home the best chance at survival. For a free estimate, call 209-9473. 209-9473.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen.
Here's Brad Dickus.
In its zeal to declare as fraudulent all adult counseling for same-sex attraction, the California legislature may be on a collision course with the U.S. Supreme Court. You see, the Supreme Court recently declared unconstitutional California's law mandating pro-life pregnancy centers to promote abortion. In that decision, the court also rebuked the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals reasoning in their ruling which upheld California's ban on same-sex attraction counseling for minors. Well, Pacific Justice Institute agrees that this new bill for all adults, Assembly Bill 2943, will likewise ignore free speech and religious freedom as well.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
The damage may occur or anything like that.
Forecasters say the model looks like Florence will start to rapidly intensify Sunday and be a major hurricane by Tuesday. President Trump's lawyer says the president does not believe Stormy Daniels' hush money agreement is valid and will not carry out a threat to sue her for discussing her alleged affair with him. Charles Harder says in court papers Saturday the president never believed he was a party in the agreement, which he did not sign. Daniels claims she had an affair with Mr. Trump back in 2006, which the president denies. She is suing to invalidate the nondisclosure agreement. President Trump and former President Obama will be facing off between now and the November midterm elections.
Barack Obama is not on the ballot, but he's campaigning this fall against President Trump and his allies. After staying mostly silent since leaving office, Obama kicked off his fall tour in Illinois and bluntly criticized the sitting president for seizing on Americans' fear and resentment. In remarks on Friday, Mr. Trump responded by claiming he fell asleep watching Obama's speech. The president also said that his predecessor was trying to take credit for the strong economy. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Meanwhile, Vice President Mike Pence, also taking umbrage, says it's disappointing Mr. Obama's back on the campaign trail criticizing the president. Pence says, quote, "The truth is the American people in 2016 rejected the policy and direction of Barack Obama when they elected President Trump." News and analysis at townhall.com.
Today's world, violent crime can victimize anyone at any time. Larry Elder here. When it's your time, will you be able to protect yourself and your loved ones? For my personal protection, I am attending a training at Front Sight, the world's premier firearms training facility located near Las Vegas. And through our personal relationship with Front Sight's founder and director, Dr. Ignatius Piazza, we've arranged for you and your family to train there too, free of charge. Yes, it's true. On your computer browser, enter frontsight.com/Larry to secure a $2,000 four-day defensive handgun course absolutely free of charge with no hidden surprises or catches. Enter frontsight.com/Larry. After your first course at Front Sight, you'll leave with skills that surpass 99% of the gun-owning population. Guaranteed. Nobody does it better than Front Sight, but you must act before these free courses are all taken. Secure your free four-day $2,000 course at frontsight.com/Larry, frontsight.com/Larry.
Sweden's prime minister denounced an increasingly popular far-right party as racist and a threat to the nation's European values today as political candidates made their final pre-election pitches to voters. Political analyst Goran Vencido warns that while Sweden Democrats are unlikely to win, they might be needed by any party short of a majority wanting to form a government.
Sweden Democrats then have said that they are not going to give this support as a carte blanche for a government. So that means that any government that is formed on this basis will have to take into account the positions and the priorities of the Sweden Democrats.
The parliamentary election being held Sunday will be Sweden's first since the government back in 2015 allowed 163,000 migrants into the country of 10 million. While far less than what Germany took in that year, it was the most per capita of any European nation. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. Dozens of Colorado state and local election officials recently participated in cybersecurity and other exercises to reinforce the state's voting status as among the most secure in the nation ahead of the November midterms.
Homeland Security Secretary Christian Nielsen praised Colorado as a national leader in safeguarding elections during an address last week in Denver. Nielsen briefly reiterated her concerns about potential Russian state-led hacking of U.S. elections, particularly of voter databases. Colorado's Republican Secretary of State Wayne Williams told county officials the exercise aims to increase public confidence that their votes are safe in the state.
Correspondent Jeremy House reporting. U.S. Food and Drug Administration says new guidance about added sugars that will provide an alternative labeling option for pure maple syrup and honey will be released next year. Meanwhile, opponents say the products they're protesting say they would be misleading and unfair. More at townhall.com.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we offer up the latest tech news you could use. Hi, it's Bob Belongi. It's even easier to listen to the show now that we're on iTunes. You'll find our archives and articles at boomertechradio.com, and the show is streamed live at kcnr1460.com. We review the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and make sure you are up to date on the latest tech trend. Boomer Tech Radio, Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. on KCNR 1460, and now available as a podcast on iTunes.
Join us for the third annual Nick Dahl Memorial Golf Tournament on September 22nd. Proceeds from this event sponsor housing for local homeless veterans at the Reading Veterans Resource Center. Since 2016, this event has sponsored housing for 41 veterans. Having a safe place has enabled many of these vets to begin rebuilding their lives by receiving much-needed VA medical care. Many have obtained employment, enrolled in college, or even transitioned into their own housing. Together, we are making a difference for our local veterans. For more information, call 227-7808.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
To the world of cigars, spirits, and diversions. The Cigar and Pleasure Friendly Hotlines are open. 877-DAVE-007. Now, fire up a cigar and pour yourself a cocktail. It's time for the General Cigar Dave.
We continue celebrating Alpha Male Good Life Pleasure Maneuvers. First hour, we celebrated Kentucky Bourbon Heritage Month with Frederick Booker Noe III, master distiller and incredible expert in the world of bourbon whiskey. Great knowledge that he imparted to us, and I'm staring at these five bottles from Jim Beam and the Basil Hayden's, the Jim Beam Signature Craft, the Knob Creek that I enjoyed for the litation and libation ceremony, and I'm still salivating, and there's no doubt I'll have to take another few swigs here in this hour. But we will be talking football later in this hour with Chris Landry, noted football expert of LandryFootball.com. Spent time with Bill Belichick and the Cleveland Browns and Nick Saban at LSU. We'll talk NFL. First game occurred two nights ago. Not overly exciting, but football is back. Life is good. Welcome back. Hour number two. As always, I extend to you my long-ass greetings and salutations, a long-ass snappy salute. Semper Delectatio. Always pleasure. Long live the Alpha. Make America great again. Make masculinity great again. As always, don't forget to follow me on social media. Just go to CigarDave.com, upper right-hand corner. You will see the icons for all the social media platforms. We have not been banned, unlike other broadcasters that got permanently lifetime banned a couple of days ago. But Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, just go ahead and click it and you can follow it. Now, very quickly here before I get into some very pressing show material, and we may have to bring out Master Thespian Sir Davis Generalis. Actually, not may, we will. But those of you that are members of the Cigar Dave Officers Club, the August 2018 selection, the Fonseca Classic, just a wonderful, very smooth cigar launched in 1974 by master cigar blender, legend in the cigar industry, Manuel Quesada, that has just stood the test of time over the last 44 years. The Fonseca Classic was mailed and shipped earlier this week. What has happened between the civil unrest in Nicaragua the last three, 4 months, shipments getting out of the Nicaraguan factories late, and then just getting, when they do get out, they just overwhelm customs down in Miami, and that consequently causes a backup, even with cigars coming from Honduras and the Dominican Republic, and that's exactly what happened with this Fonseca Classic. But those of you that are members of the Officers Club, you will be receiving the Fonseca Classic. Should start to get them today into next week, depending on where you live geographically. And our September selection, we will make an announcement next week. We think we know what it's going to be, but it just depends on what is going on in Nicaragua. So some crazy times in Nicaragua that is having a rippling effect, but trust me, when you get these Fonseca Classics, you will love these cigars. A nice mild to medium-bodied cigar, loads of creaminess, very, very smooth, Connecticut shade, USA wrapper, Dominican binder and filler. You'll love these Fonseca cigars. And I'll tell you what, the Fonseca Classics would go great with the Basil Hayden's Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, this small-batch bourbon whiskey that I sampled in the first hour that we talked to Booker Noh about. Just incredibly smooth. Perfect combination, the Fonseca Classic and the Basil Hayden's. All right, earlier this week, a couple of days ago, you saw on Wednesday, New Jersey Senator Cory Booker. Now, we have featured him in the past on the show. He tends to get a little bit on the melodramatic side. And he was speaking with the future Supreme Court Justice Kavanaugh. And, of course, he is running for president. There's no question about it. We saw a number of Democratic candidates. They haven't announced yet, but they will. Just a matter of time. We have seen them do some grandstanding. You can already see their campaign TV ads already being constructed with some of the sound bites. Well, Cory Booker threatened in a very melodramatic form to defy Senate rules, release confidential documents about Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. And he went on to talk about this Spartacus moment. So let us play soundbite number one, Sergeant Steve, New Jersey Senator Cory Booker.
We have a process here for a person, the highest office in the land, for a lifetime appointment. We're rushing through this before me and my colleagues can even read and digest the information.
Oh, the drama. Allow me to break out Master Thespian Sedavius Generalis. We here have an unprecedented time. This is the highest judgeship in the land. We simply cannot be cavalier about this. We must release documents. We must get all the available information, for our nation depends on it. Let's play that one more time, Sergeant Steve.
We have a process here for a person, the highest office in the land, for a lifetime appointment. We're rushing through this before me and my colleagues can even read and digest the information.
Oh, I must digest that information. I must digest it like a large steak meal from one of the fine steakhouses such as Morton's or Fleming's or Del Frisco's or The Palm, like I have gorged myself on a 4-pound ribeye steak. I need time to digest, and if that does not work, I must take some Tums or Rolaids to allow the digestive juices to digest in my belly. Oh, please, the drama that this guy exudes. It's over the top. And again, you can already see that his 2020 Democratic primary campaign television commercial is going to use this melodramatic speech that he made. And he goes on to talk about his Spartacus moment.
This is about the closest I'll probably ever have in my life to an I am Spartacus moment.
This is the closest I shall have to a Spartacus moment. Allow me to take that Spartacus book or the movie, the video, and hold it and place it near to my bosom to allow me to fully ingrate myself into this incredible melodramatic play that I am creating here in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee. Now, when he talks about, well, first of all, let's go ahead and play the soundbite from the movie Spartacus.
I'm Spartacus!
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 Now, if you have never seen the movie Spartacus starring Kirk Douglas, I'm trying to remember if this movie came out in the 50s or the 60s. It follows a Thracian man named Spartacus, who is a slave of the Roman Empire in the first century B.C., but always defies them. He leads other slaves in revolt. That initially was successful, but Spartacus's fighters are then surrounded by the Romans. Most of them are slaughtered outside of Rome. And the Romans start to question the survivors. They want to know who their leader is so they can make an example of him. And that's when all the survivors stand up and declare, Sergeant Steve, hit that soundbite one more time.
I'm Spartacus!
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 And what ends up happening? The Romans decide to whack everybody. So that was the Spartacus moment. Again, total melodrama, just overly melodramatic, but that's Cory Booker. It just has to go on and on and on. Now, what I want to do is next week, Burt Reynolds passed away at the age of 82, and he was just a huge box office attraction. If you grew up in the 70s, even 80s, listen, every person I know, every male wanted to be Burt Reynolds. Why? He was banging Lonnie Anderson. He was married to Lonnie Anderson. So next week I'm going to spend a little bit more time talking about Burt Reynolds, his incredible career. And I got a great story from Gene Deckerhoff, the play-by-play voice of the Florida State Seminoles where Burt Reynolds attended, talking about he and Lonnie Anderson. Great story that I will share with you. But we'll be talking football. The National Football League has started. We'll be joined by Chris Landry talking NFL preview right around the corner.
The General is always on Twitter, delivering breaking news, giving you the latest intel on cigars, and battling the enemies of pleasure. Chat with the General now at Cigar Dave Show.
In 1964, Jose O. Padron began rolling cigars bearing his name in modest surroundings with one guiding principle. Always focus on quality, never on quantity. Nearly 40 years later, Padron cigars are recognized for their superior taste and majestic construction. The result of Padron controlling all aspects of the cigar-making process, including planting their own seeds, growing and curing their own tobacco, and constantly supervising the rolling room. To Wall Street, it is called vertical integration. To the Padron family, it's called making great cigars. The Padron lines include the Padron 1964 Anniversary Series and the Padron Traditional line. All Padron cigars are wrapped in Nicaraguan sun-grown Habano tobacco, available in natural or maduro. Experience Padron. For your Padron retailer, call 1-800-453-5635. When Padron is on the band, quality is a matter of family honor.
Surgeon General warning. Tobacco use increases the risk of infertility, stillbirth, and low birth weight.
America is under attack. Basic freedoms, privileges, and acts that we would normally take for granted are disappearing each day, including the simple ability to enjoy a cigar. This is Glenn Loop, Executive Director of Cigar Rights of America, CRA. At a time when elected officials should be thinking about education, public safety, and creating jobs, they are actually thinking about smoking bans, new taxes, and regulations of historic proportions on premium cigars. The cigars that provide us with pleasure, relaxation, and fellowship are under attack. We have to stop it. That's why Cigar Rights of America was created, to work for a new political day for cigar enthusiasts across America, to roll back restrictive laws and defeat onerous taxes and regulations that impact everyone from your local cigar shop to your personal humidor. For the price of a few great cigars, be a part of this effort to protect your right to enjoy a cigar without excessive taxation and cumbersome legislation. Go to CigarRights.org. Let's tell the government we've had enough. Join now, CigarRights.org.
You are listening live to the Fox NFL theme. That can mean only one thing. It is time for Cigar Dave National Football League preview. Football is back. College is back. NFL started two nights ago, although it was kind of a bad impression of an NFL regular season game as Atlanta lost to the Eagles 18-12. Truth be told, it put me to sleep after the first half. It was a yawner. I think they thought they were back in preseason. But joining us, a very special guest, noted football analyst and expert and incredible draft analyst. We've got Chris Landry of LandryFootball.com. Chris, I've been a big fan. I know that you appear with my good friend Steve Dumig. Every time you're on, I make sure I listen because nobody breaks down games and players better than you. So it's a real pleasure and honor to have you on with us.
Well, I appreciate that. It's an honor to be on with you, and always great talking football. And it's exciting, the start of the season. I know you mentioned that the game wasn't real exciting last night. And we may have some of that sluggish performances this week, but football's back, so I think we can all rejoice on that.
You know, before we get into your background, it always amazes me that college never needs any preseason games. They basically start the season, and we got great games last weekend, and yet the National Football League, they have four preseason games, and we got kind of a dud yesterday. It's really time for the NFL to just dump the preseason and go with 18 regular season games.
Well, you know, there's a lot of debate with that. Jerry Jones has come out and said the same thing. Of course, the motive behind that for owners is that they want to make two of the games add two more to the regular season because they don't want to give folks a break on the tickets. It is really a shame that they charge full price for your season ticket package for the preseason games, which is really unfair. You know, as a football guy, the preseason games are important to develop a roster, but the quality of the games are not very, very good. And with the CBA that was signed several years ago, you have less contact and pads, and that leads to, quite frankly, being less prepared for the start of the season. And I always tell everyone it takes a good 4 to 5 weeks to really get a feel for some of these teams because the quality is not that good. Now, in college, they don't have a preseason game, although – because we have a few good games, but most people play that, I call it the rent or win type of game, where sometimes they play sluggish, but they still can win by 30 points. So, yeah, you know, as long as things are equal, I guess it's fair and competitive. But as a football guy, I'd like to see them do a little bit more to improve the preparation level so that the quality is a little bit better starting up. The tackling in particular is atrocious, although – in the Monday night game, the Thursday night opener, we had some good tackling and not much offense.
You know, you talk about rent a win. Penn State almost rented a loss from Appalachian State.
Yeah, they did. Appalachian State. You know, people are not going to want to sign up to play those guys, and it was 11 year to the anniversary that they beat Michigan, and I'm sitting there watching them playing Penn State. And this is a brand-new, young, first-time starting quarterback at Appalachian State. Tim Satterfield does a really good job. They've got a lot of good athletes, and they play with a chip on their shoulder, and the program has gotten better and better. No, it is never smart to play a team like that because if you win, you don't get any credit for it, and if you lose, you get vilified for it, and if you win in a close game, they say, what the heck happened?
Chris Landry, our guest for our NFL preview here on the Cigar Dave Show. Chris, let's talk about your background. Fascinating. You really spent a lifetime in football. Been a coach, been a scout, administrator, both the college football, NFL levels. You're back in Baton Rouge where you analyze all sorts of games. But tell us your background because it really is fascinating.
Well, you know, I've been blessed to be around the game of football my entire life. I've never really felt like I've had a real job in that sense. You know, I started off as I was a walk-on football player at LSU, and I can still remember to this day, and very limited, had a couple of small college scholarship offers, and a walk-on at LSU, grew up in South Louisiana, going to LSU games. Bill Orangeburger, coach at LSU at the time, and I'm there, and I spent an entire fall and an entire spring, and Coach Orangeburger, who people may remember was really a defensive savant, was the coordinator for Don Shula and the Dolphins and the inventor of the 3-4 defense, called me in and basically said, you know, you're really not much of a player. You know, he says, you ever thought about coaching? And, of course, I hadn't. And he said, you know, you'd be you know, a lot better help to us if maybe you became a student assistant coach. And, of course, at the time I was devastated because I was dumb because there I was as a walk-on player getting my head beaten in by guys that were a lot better. And then I went to being a student assistant coach where you had the scholarship paid for and, you know, books and meals paid for. And that really started it for me. I learned a lot of football from him and then moved on, became a full-time assistant, and then got an opportunity to get in the NFL to work for Bill Belichick. And there was an assistant among the assistants on that staff at that time was a guy named Nick Saban. So I spent time, and I still think about it to this day, sitting there at a table looking to my right in Bill Belichick and across the table and seeing Nick to my right to see Nick Saban. And nothing to do with me, but I will probably remember that for being maybe being on the staff and being able to see perhaps the two greatest coaches in the history of pro football and the NFL respectively. And that really did it for me. And then I moved on from Cleveland to go to run the scouting combine for a while and then on to Houston to run the Oilers scouting department. And then when we moved to Tennessee, moved with the team there. And then I moved back in the early 2000s when my dad got sick. And it just been back home to Louisiana and did consulting work for teams and have continued to do that and started a website with a good friend of yours that you well know, Steve Versnick, and I. He helped me get this started, and I tried to put together some things that I thought might be unique to fans to give them a perspective from a coach and a scout and administrator about the pro and college game, which I so love.
So you still consult with NFL teams?
I do. I do some work for some teams and some college programs. It involves, you know, draft consulting work, but it's also what we call advanced scouting, some evaluating of personnel as well as schematics. Do a lot of it during the off season, during the summertime, where you really help programs kind of break down what other people are doing, how they're doing it. And the real advantages with technology, the way it is, you know, you don't have to get out there in person as much. And then a coaching search work is a big part of what I do. That heats up a lot, obviously, as the latter part of the college season takes place. You see a lot of coaching changes and evaluating coaches because one of the things I did for my alma mater, LSU, is I did, having worked so closely with them, recommended that they hire Nick Saban at LSU. And they listened to me and thought so much of me that they went out and hired Jerry DiNardo. And that had some success, but it ended up pretty poorly. And it wasn't until Mark Emmert, who's now the head of the NCAA, who's then the chancellor of LSU, decided, at that point they had some interest and some had remembered that and did a little bit more homework. Nick had at that point gone to Michigan State and had success there. And then, but then at that point, Nick Saban wasn't interested in going. So I had to spend time convincing him that LSU was a much better job than the results had shown and explaining to him why I thought, you know, so many coaches had failed there and whatnot. And then, ended up where it, he got the job. And I can remember to this day, he was, named the head coach at LSU, the highest paid coach in the country at $1.2 million a year in 2000. And today, that's chicken feed. He almost makes that on a weekly basis. But so that and Bob Stoops, a few guys, Kurt Ferentz, who's had a lot of success at Iowa. So it's helped me get into some of the coaching search realm with background of knowing these guys. And I think it's important, like in any industry, to know who really does what. And so that's something that I do, and it's something that we try to bring to light on the website for people's enjoyment.
All right, Chris, when we come back, we'll get into looking at this year's NFL season.
The General is now on Instagram. Follow him for pictures of the latest cigars, libations, and what he's enjoying during the show.
That could be interesting, and we'll have to block out some faces.
Go to Instagram and search Cigar Day. Cigar Day.
Gurkha has just launched three new cigars at the Cigar Dave Alpha Pleasure Fest on the Water in Buffalo. The Gurkha Chateau Privé, the Gurkha Marquesa, and Gurkha Ghost Gold. All three unique flavor profiles. The Gurkha Chateau Privé, more traditional, mild, and creamy cigar, typically found in many of the high-end Dominican cigars. Exquisite flavor, very velvety on the palate, featuring an Ecuadorian De Florada wrapper. The Gurkha Marquesa, very Cubanesque all the way around from flavor and packaging. With an earthy Sumatra wrapper, Gurkha Marquesa is a bold, well-balanced, medium-bodied, and spicy cigar. The Gurkha Ghost Gold, a little different than the regular Gurkha Ghost, more flavor, a little bit bolder, featuring an Ecuadorian Habano wrapper. Instead of a sweet flavor on the Gurkha Ghost, it's a more nutty and earthy profile. The Gurkha Chateau Privé, the Gurkha Marquesa, and Gurkha Ghost Gold, three new cigars just launched by...
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell with Maxwell Insurance and Financial. As a community, we are all recovering from the car fire. We understand the seriousness of this disaster and the frustration of dealing with the insurance companies. Insurance policies can be very difficult to understand. If you have questions about your insurance policy and need help in any way, please feel free to give us a call at 221-0441. This is Judy Maxwell with Maxwell Insurance and Financial.
Securities offered through Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated, a SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Judy Maxwell, representative. Maxwell Insurance and Financial and Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated are not affiliated. The information presented is intended for educational purposes only. It is not intended to replace the advice of an attorney or a qualified tax professional. This is not an offer or solicitation in any jurisdiction where they are not authorized to do business. Registered branch address, 1378 Hilltop Drive, Redding, California, 960.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Redding's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant the third Friday of each month in the 8 a.m. hour. Here on locally owned KCNR.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Redding. Join the revolution.
Autumn in America. That means football. It means grilled meats. It means cigars. It means spirits. It means my favorite time of the year. And to preview this NFL season, we are rejoined by Chris Landry, draft and scout expert extraordinaire, and the man behind LandryFootball.com, joining us from his headquarters in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Chris, I've got a picture of you that I found. You're in front of about 10 monitors with about 14 different DVR remote controls in your hand. So how many games do you watch at any one given time, or do you just watch them on tape delay and then analyze them afterward?
Well, what I do is I used to have 10, and then I figured out that the four at the top, I could not follow it. So I settled in on 6, which I have now. So whether it's Saturday or Sunday, I've got 6 games going on at once, and I can tape, or DVR is the term, that particular game on that TV as well as 2 others. So at any point in time, there are 18 games being taped so that I can go back and look at it. The scouting work is done off the coaching tape that I get from teams, but I always like to go back and get some things from the televised version because you can find out some things, injuries and whatnot, some of the flow that I like to chart and make notes while watching games to, you know, help me before I go in and delve into the tape. So it is pretty hectic, but a lot of fun to monitor as many as 6 games at one time.
The most important position by far in football is the quarterback. Why is it that it's so difficult for college quarterbacks who have tremendous success at the college level to replicate that success on the NFL pro level?
Well, it's such a different game, Dave. It's the college game, the players are really good, but at the pro level, they're the best of the best. They're the biggest, they're the strongest, they're the fastest, they're the most skilled in terms of understanding and positioning. So the degree of difficulty is that much greater in terms of being able to complete passes and being able to find open receivers. For example, in college, what's open in college is a lot of spacing to be able to throw the football. In the pro game, when guys get open, it is such a narrow window that in most cases in college, they wouldn't allow their kids to throw the football in that spot because it's too close. But you have to do it in the NFL because that's as wide open as you're going to get in the NFL. I would explain it this way. It's kind of like making a layup versus trying to hit a three-point. I mean, you can do it, but it's a degree of difficulty is greater. Or, you know, maybe, you know, a hole in the 3-foot putt or a 30-foot putt. It's that difficult, that much more difficult. And the game is quite a bit different. You have some rules, blocking rules that are different. And you have more of the run element in the college game, whereas in the pro game, you've got to do a little bit more work from within the pocket, and you've got to go through read progression. So there's a much greater understanding of coverages, route concepts, and all things that are really pertinent to have success at the next level. It's just that's much more difficult. And I think the college game today, while you're having a lot of good quarterbacks, the scheme and the spread styles don't translate quite as well to the NFL, which is why some NFL coaches are doing a good job of adjusting some of the NFL styles to fit more of the college scheme. But, you know, you can simplify it for them, but as you simplify it, you become easier to defend. So you simplify it, make it easy to get the quarterback on the field, then you have to expand upon the system and have the quarterback grow within the system. So all of that is a long-winded way of saying it's just a lot tougher to make that transition because the game is quite a bit different.
All right, so this year we saw a plethora of quarterbacks taken in the first round. Let's start off Baker Mayfield with Cleveland Browns. I'm a Bills fan. Tyrod Taylor is a 7-9 quarterback. He will all the national reporters said, oh, but he doesn't turn the ball over. The problem is that he couldn't hit open receivers. Unless they were open by like 5 seconds, he would not throw down the field. He would miss wide open guys. So I don't think there's any doubt Baker Mayfield's going to get a start here in the probably first 4 or 5 games. But how did you have the quarterbacks rank? Because Baker Mayfield was taken, and Sam Darnold, Josh Allen went to the Bills, Josh Rosen. How did you have them all ranked?
Sam Darnold was the guy that I liked the best because I thought he had the temperament. I thought he had the intangibles, and I thought he had the physical skill set to throw the football outside the pocket. He had good pocket presence. I turned the football over a bunch, but when you drill down into why, a lot of it was he was asked to do things at USC to kind of put his team on the back. On his back and try to bring him back from behind. But when you do that, you're going to turn the football over some. I thought he did a tremendous job of putting bad plays behind, which is really important that you don't get down And he's got the physical and the intangible qualities that I think are going to be very successful. And I think the Jets, for the first time in a long time, you can appreciate this, being a Bills fan, watching the Jets. The last time they've had a quarterback that they've been this excited about is probably Joe Namath. Because, I mean, you can look at the Vinny Testaverdes and guys that they've had that have been, you know, I know some folks like Mark Sanchez, but there hasn't been anybody of this ilk in some time in New York for the Jets. So I like him a bunch, and I think Baker Mayfield can be good, but I think he needs a little bit more time and a little bit more seasoning. Josh Allen with the Bills, as you're well aware, Josh Rosen. Some other guys that I think out of this crop can be really good, along with some other guys in the league like Jimmy Garoppolo's, that we've got a good influx of young quarterbacks.
Let me say this. Jimmy Garoppolo got to sit and learn behind Tom Brady, mm-hmm. and learn. And, you know, people think of when they take a look, they really – everybody looks at starting a quarterback immediately these days. And yet, when you look, I think, the most successful guys that have come up through the ranks, they've sat maybe a year or two and really learned and taken a mentorship. And Aaron Rodgers is a perfect example. And they seem to have greater success when they're able to not play immediately and learn the system, kind of learn the speed of the game. They seem to do much better in that scenario.
I agree. It's my philosophy. You know, I drafted Steve McNair, and we sat him. We thought it was the best thing for him. I think it is the best thing for most quarterbacks. The problem is, in today's world, today's society, everyone's making a snap judgment. They want a guy to start quick. The owner wants it. They're hearing it from the media and the fans, and they're not winning, or why not put the guy in? Well, that's fine. And people have this saying that you can't learn if you're not playing. Well, that's not true. I always say that when a quarterback is ready, and it's different for every player, but when a quarterback is ready, then that's when you want to put him in. Not when, hey, he's the best option, let's throw him in there. Because to me, all you're doing is ingraining bad habits if he's not ready. I use the golf analogy a lot. If you go to the driving range and you hit a big bucket of balls, you're not getting better. Practice makes permanent. It doesn't make perfect. You need to correct your problem and then hit that bucket of balls doing it the right way. So I think in the quarterback position in particular, a lot of these guys, I think their mechanics get flawed. And quite frankly, a lot of guys get ruined by getting into the game a little too quickly, and they never maybe are groomed correctly, or the coaching's not quite as good. There's not stability in a system. There's a lot of reasons why we ruin quarterbacks, and often we claim guys as busts when the reality is their careers have been busts, but there have been some guys that have helped bust them, if you will, in terms of poor development.
You know, I'll never forget, I played in a celebrity pro-am golf tournament, got to be about 15 years ago, and was playing with a couple of quarterbacks at the time, and I was remarking about how, you know, it's really tough getting some good quarterbacks these days, and they said, no, I'll tell you what the problem is, it's getting good coaches that know how to teach these quarterbacks, and all three of them said it virtually at the same time. Is that a problem where we've got marginal coaches that are, tutoring some of these quarterbacks?
I think it's the most undercoached position in football, and very often is the case. In college, it is 9 times out of 10, the offensive coordinator is the quarterback coach, because they're calling the plays or had the relationship with the quarterback. The coordinators tend to be more an overseer of the offense, meaning they're looking at everything. They're looking at the play concepts, what to call in certain situations, and they're not spending as much time on the fundamentals of working with the quarterback, the drop step, the positioning. Now, in the NFL, I've always said, without a limit on coaches, which you do have in college, on the field coaches, in the NFL, everybody should have a quarterback coach that is separate from the coordinator, everyone. And I do think there is a lack of experience of what I would call quality teachers of the quarterback position. And I think some guys that have played it have been successful. Look at some of the best teachers. It's maybe a guy like a Frank Wright, who you're familiar with, that was a backup and a very good one in the league. You know, the best quarterbacks in the league don't want to teach it because, well, they make a lot of money. They don't want to get into coaching. So you're right. Not going to get, I remember speaking with Joe Montana one time. We got a mutual friend, and his young kids were coming up, and he was looking for a good quarterback coach. I'm like, Joe, what are you? He says, oh, my kids don't listen to me. You know, they're like any other kids. It's like but finding a good quarterback teacher was difficult, and not all these guys. A lot of the good players do it the way they did it, but they're not good teachers and can't really relate to guys because they can't do it as those, the guys they're teaching are not as good as they are, and they can't do what they do. And well, that's how I did it. Good teachers, as you well know, and all our listeners know, that it's about being able to touch a student in a different way. And I don't think we have enough good quarterback teachers. And I think a lot of it is taught on scheme and decision making and reads, and not enough on the mechanics of playing and throwing the position and the ball handling and whatnot.
And that's why a lot of these quarterbacks that come into the league and high draft picks actually hire their own quarterback coaches, these experts. I think Carson Palmer's brother is one of them out in California and has worked with him. Our guest is Chris Landry.
By the way, if I could jump in there and say, here's the biggest problem we got, is even though we don't have that there is a seat in the collective bargaining agreement, players cannot spend time with their coaches in the offseason. That's the biggest reason why they're hiring these coaches, individual coaches. How crazy is that, that a player that comes into the league, he can't spend time in the offseason talking football with his position coach?
That is absurd. It's really a full-time job, and you don't have to have contact, but these players are paid full-time money. It's not like the old days where they need a summer job or an off-season job, but I totally agree. Our guest is Chris Landry.
They got to pay their money. I'm sorry. They got to pay their own money to hire these.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. I thought it would be fun to have you hear from some of our residents what life is like here at River Commons. I asked Jean, Rosalie, Gordon, and Sherry to share their thoughts.
Living here at River Commons is something I never even imagined or dreamed of. It's sort of like being on a vacation where you don't have to worry about doing anything, and you have people taking care of you, looking out for you. The food is like being on a cruise ship, as my daughter puts it.
Home. It feels homey to me. Only better. I don't have to cook. I don't have to clean.
Been here 8 years. It's been fantastic. I've enjoyed every minute of it.
This is my home. The parties and the activities are great. I love living here. I wouldn't live anyplace else.
Call today and schedule a tour or lunch in a tour and see for yourself why our residents love living here at River Commons. Call 221-2121 or on the web at river-commons.com.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Are we enjoying the unity and peace our immoral, godless leaders promised if we would just give up the idea of God? No, we are experiencing violence, hatred, immorality, chaos, and much more, all of which the Bible calls lawlessness. Sadly, those practicing lawlessness are living under a strong delusion of lies as they reject God's truth and have pleasure in unrighteousness. This strong delusion will keep them from knowing the truth that can make them free. If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon. And remember, it's worth the ride.
Rocky Patel. If you're a beginner, or if you just enjoy a great mild cigar like I do in the morning, I suggest you try the Vintage 99. This 7-year-old Connecticut wrapper delivers a creamy, mild, smooth flavor. It's very, very balanced on your palate, and it absolutely is delightful. Tons of flavor, a perfect draw, and an incredible ash. This cigar is smooth. It will entice you to enjoying more and more of the Vintage 99s. It's just a nice, great, balanced, smooth cigar. Look for it, the oldest Connecticut shape in the market today. I'm Rocky Patel, and I promise you, nobody works harder than we do to make you a great quality cigar. Come visit us at rockypatel.com.
Surgeon General warning, cigar smoking can cause cancer and heart disease.
hold it right there. Cigar Dave is back in 2 minutes. The General resumes hosting maneuvers in 1 minute. Quiet, please. Cigar Dave returns in 5, 4, 3, 2.
All right, in our remaining minutes, now we're going to hit each division in the National Football League and do our prognostications. Little preview, Chris Landry of LandryFootball.com, noted scout, noted draft expert. Chris, first up, AFC, AFC East. Let's just stop right here. My Buffalo Bills going to take it all.
There you go. Well, no need to add any more to that. And that would be eye-popping the story that is New England. Man, what a dominant performance they've had.
No doubt.
Still be awfully tough to beat. But it is going to be interesting to see who can make that race to be number two. Buffalo, the Jets, I like a little bit more than the Dolphins at this point.
Well, I'll tell you what, the Bills, I think, are in a transition year offensive line, a little tough. But I think what's going to be interesting, you know, the Jets and Bills seem to be doing it the right way. No shortcuts, drafting, no big-time free agents. You got to build it through the draft. And there eventually will be a changing of the guard in the AFC East. The question is when. But this year, New England odds-on favorite. Now, AFC North, great game to start, actually. You've got Pittsburgh and Cleveland. That's a bitter rivalry. But in that division, I mean, Pittsburgh still seems to be the odds-on favorite.
I think so. I think Cleveland will be better. Maybe they could make a run towards 500, maybe get to 6-7 at least. Maybe they get it done this weekend as Pittsburgh's kind of coming in with outlay beyond bail. I still like the Steelers. We've got the best defense. Baltimore is still pretty good defensively, but they've got to get more consistency out of the quarterback position. Cincinnati is maybe a team that could be overtaken by Cleveland, but I suspect that they're going to fight for the third and fourth spots, those two, and probably 5-6 wins is about the best they can do, I would think.
All right, real quickly, AFC South, I think that could be one of the best divisions in football. Houston, great quarterback. Indianapolis, Andrew Luck is back. Jacksonville made a deep run last year. Could be a pretty good competitive balance in the AFC South.
Boy, I agree. I think it's a great division. I think only Indianapolis lacks the roster to compete, and obviously Andrew Luck is back. But Tennessee's a good team. I like Houston and Jacksonville. Jacksonville is the best roster overall in the AFC. Can they get enough out of the quarterback position? Can Houston get some breaks from an injury standpoint? Good defense, dynamic young quarterback. I might go with Houston here, but it's, to me, Houston and Jacksonville in the end fighting for it out.
All right, AFC West, Broncos sign Case Keenum, Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes. Chargers always look good. The Raiders, I can tell you one thing, I don't see them winning that division under Gruden in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I think the Raiders, to me, clearly look like the fourth best team in the division. And I think the other three are pretty close. I give the Chargers a little bit of an edge. They've had a tough run of it injury-wise. They've got a really good-looking roster. I think the Chiefs are good. And I think the Broncos are a good defensive team that will be improved on offense. I think all three of those teams are capable of winning the division. It might be a 10, definitely 11 win, get you in good shape in that division.
All right, we move to the NFC, NFC East. Eagles won their first game. Going to be interesting to see how they do because they lost a lot of key coaches. Dallas, mediocre year last year. Giants kind of rebuilding. Redskins, who knows? They lost their quarterback. Any predictions on that? You think Eagles still odds-on favorite?
I think they are. I think they have the best roster in that division. And certainly when they get Carson Wentz back, they'll be a little bit more consistent on offense. I worry about Dallas. Is their strength is the offensive line. They've not started off the year healthy there. I don't know that they're good enough defensively to be more than what they've been, and that's a 500 team. The Giants, I think, will be improved. Could finish as high as second in the division. Washington, I have some concerns about. Don't like their roster. I think their roster is right with Dallas, probably a little bit below Dallas in the NFCs.
All right, NFC North, you got the Bears, Lions, Packers, Vikings. To me, I think it's a shootout between the Packers and the Vikings.
Yeah, I think the Vikings have the best roster in the NFC, and I think that the quarterback position is stabilized and maybe even a little bit more productive in terms of big plays. I think they probably win it. What gives the Packers a chance is Aaron Rodgers. He's outstanding. And, you know, I think he's good enough to get them in the division race and make the playoffs, just not good enough around him to go and win another Super Bowl. The Lions have started off the year poorly in preseason, but we'll see whether they can run the football well. The team to look out for is the Bears. The addition of Khalil Mack will help them. If Trubisky can be improved with improved weapons at receiver, they could challenge for maybe a second spot and be an above 500 team.
All right, let's take a look at the last two divisions. We've got about a minute and a half. So NFC South, Panthers, Saints, Buccaneers, Falcons.
Love this division. I think they're all really good teams, all improved. The Bucs are better, but still think they're fourth in the division. Carolina, I would probably put near in that third spot. And then I think it's the Saints and Atlanta, if they all stay healthy, or the best. I think the Saints' defense has consistently gotten better. I give the Saints the edge because of Drew Brees, but I think it's a toss-up, probably 10 or 11 wins this division. It wouldn't surprise me if we had maybe two teams from this division getting into the playoffs. I think a wild card's definitely coming out of it.
All right, real quickly, the NFC West, Arizona, the Rams, the 49ers, the Seahawks, that division has gotten much better. I'll tell you what, a lot of people predicting the Rams are going to go all the way this year.
Well, they've got the best roster in the West, so I think that that's a safe look going into the season. I think the Niners are getting better. Don't count out the Seahawks. They, you know, certainly are a veteran team in some areas, still a quality team. I think the Cardinals are a little bit rebuilding. I don't think it's a given that the Rams dominate the division, but I still think they're the best team in the division and will end up on top.
All right, so now we go to predictions. Who's going to be in the big game?
You know, it's so tough, but I would probably say Minnesota. Just if I'm looking at it in terms of a roster, I would say Minnesota might edge out in the NFC. The NFC's tougher, by the way, than the AFC. The AFC, it's just, you know, I want to say somebody other than New England to just be creative, but I'm not convinced at this point that Pittsburgh's good enough to do it. Maybe, you know, the Texans are healthy enough to be in that position. Jacksonville. I just think that in New England, because they usually dominate the division, they are given to win 11 games and likely get home field advantage. Good luck going to Gillette and trying to beat them. So I'm going to say New England and Minnesota just to throw out a guess.
New England and Minnesota. Chris Landry of LandryFootball.com. Hey, Chris, greatly appreciate you joining us today for the NFL preview. My Bills take on the Ravens. We'll see what happens, but we'll have you on throughout the season. Cigar Dave, the general saying, may your humidor always be full. Mayor Cutter, always be sharp. Mayor Ashby, extra, extra long. Semper Delectatio, always pleasure. Long live the Alpha. Make America great again. Make masculinity great again. Go Bills. I know this is not going to be the year, but I like the direction. NFL football is back. Life is good.
The annual Reading East Rotary Ducky Derby is coming September 30th at Reading's Caldwell Park. Be a part of the Reading East Rotary's effort to keep our kids drug and alcohol free. First prize is a 16-sleeper houseboat vacation from Shasta Marina, valued at $2,700. Details on all the other amazing prizes, sponsor, or ticket information, go to readingduckyderby.com or call 225-8583. The 29th Annual Ducky Derby, September 30th in Caldwell Park. Get your tickets today. Brought to you by KCNR 1460 AM.
You know, this time of year in Shasta County, the need to heat your home is probably the last thing on your mind, right? Well, my friend SSD Oil says this is the ideal time to trade in your old monitor heater on a spanking new Toyotomi and save yourself up to $250. Your qualifying model monitor heater earns you a huge allowance on a Toyo stove that will keep you warm and cozy all winter long. This deal is as hot as a running sidewalk in summer. SSD Oil, 241-1167, 241-1167.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. U.S. East Coast could be hit with a powerful hurricane next week as Tropical Storm Florence continues to strengthen as it moves toward the mainland. National Hurricane Center says Florence expected to become a major hurricane by Monday, saying a significant phase of intensification is expected late Saturday night. Virginia, South Carolina, and North Carolina all declaring states of emergency. President Trump will mark this week's 17th anniversary of the September 11th attacks in Pennsylvania.
The President and First Lady will attend a ceremony at the 9/11 Memorial in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, on Tuesday morning. That's where United Airlines Flight 93 crashed in a field, killing 40 passengers and crew. It's believed that hijackers aboard that flight wanted to use the plane to attack the U.S. Capitol. Last year, the president marked the somber anniversary with a moment of silence on the White House lawn and an observance at the Pentagon. Greg Flagston, Washington.
Lay Catholics across the U.S. raising their voices and demanding change following new revelations of sex abuse by priests and allegations of cover-ups. The strategy includes writing letters, signing petitions, holding prayer vigils, and organizing protests. Former President Obama continues his criticism of President Trump.
Barack Obama continued his attacks on President Trump Saturday in California. Although he didn't mention President Trump by name during a 20-minute speech, the allusions were clear. His appearance came one day after a strongly worded critique of Mr. Trump in Illinois. Vice President Mike Pence is not amused. In an interview that will air on Fox News Sunday, he says, "The truth is, the American people in 2016 rejected the policy and direction of Barack Obama when they elected President Donald Trump." Ken Lorman reporting.
Japanese authorities say 37 people have been confirmed dead from the earthquake that struck the northern island of Hokkaido last week. News and analysis at townhall.com.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-607-3551. That's 800-607-3551, 800-607-3551, or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo received a letter for President Trump from his North Korean leader, Kim Jong-un.
I know that a letter is being delivered to me, a personal letter from Kim Jong-un to me.
That's President Trump speaking to reporters on Air Force One Friday.
It's actually an elegant way. It's the way it used to be.
The State Department says that letter is now in the hands of the Secretary of State. Mike Pompeo had planned to visit North Korea for more talks last week, but the president called it off, citing insufficient progress by North Korea toward denuclearization. Since then, however, the two leaders have exchanged positive public statements about one another.
He said, "I have respect for Trump. I have respect for President Trump."
As for this latest communication,
and I think it's going to be a positive letter.
Ben Thomas, Washington.
Bill Daly, the comic sidekick on leading men on the sitcoms I Dream of Jeannie and the Bob Newhart Show, has died. He was 91. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. A warrant for manslaughter has not been issued for a Dallas police officer who killed a man in his home.
Police Chief Renee Hall says Texas Rangers said they needed more time to look into the shooting death of Botham Sean after interviewing the officer involved.
They asked us to hold off on the warrant until they had an opportunity to investigate some of the information that was provided during that interview.
Police turned the investigation over to Rangers to be transparent. Mayor Mike Rawlings.
For anyone that questions whether we're going to get to the truth of this, there should be no doubters. We will find out exactly what happened.
Jean, who is black, was shot by an off-duty officer who is white. She told police she thought she was entering her apartment in the same complex. It's unclear how she ended up at his doorstep. I'm Julie Walker.
News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Celebrate your history. Stillwater Powwow 2018, October 5th through October 7th at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. Beautiful dancers and amazing drummers sharing our culture. It's hand games, drum contests, vendors, and the history of our land. All proudly sponsored by Redding Rancheria and the Wind River Resort and Casino. Redding Rancheria Stillwater Powwow 2018, October 5th through the 7th at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. For information, call 225-8979 or visit stillwaterpowwow.com. Sharing our culture so that it may live on.
KCNR 1460, your town hall of the Shasta County airwaves with news and talk that matters to our community. Weekdays 9 to noon, The Laura Ingram Show, your healthy radio addiction. Dave Ramsey from noon to 3, celebrating 25 years of answering life's tough money questions. And 3 to 6, Drive Home with Mark Levin, one of America's most popular conservative commentators and constitutional expert. KCNR 1460 with you throughout the day on your radio or streaming live. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Live from the Fox News Radio Studios in New York City, fresh off the set of Fox and Friends, it's America's receptive voice, Brian Kilmeade.
Hey, everybody, it's going to be a big hour. Don't ask me how. Maybe it has something to do with Chris Wallace or maybe Jim Gray, the outstanding sportscaster, Fox News contributor. And, of course, we take your calls at 1-866-408-7669. The Kavanaugh hearings in day three, anything but traditional. They're now in a delay of game over a document release, and the theatrics of Senator Cory Booker is getting really tough to deal with and stomach. Now he's talking about, you can expel me from the Senate, but I'm going to release this document that talks about racial profiling. And now Senator Feinstein is making a statement. So far, no questions to the subject. Big three time.
Now, with the biggest things you need to know, to the power of three, it's Brian's Big Three. Number three.
Believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything. So don't ask if your dreams are crazy. Ask if they're crazy enough.
Colin Kaepernick dreaming of being better than Blaine Gabbert. He wasn't. On the worst team in football, a backup quarterback is now in the pantheon of greats, according to Nike, with LeBron James and Serena Williams. Explain that to me. Nike unveils how deep their relationship is with the unemployed Colin Kaepernick. They made him out to be a hero. I, for one, offended. And for first responders and cops, you're not going to be happy with Nike.
Number two.
When asked how he'd like to be remembered, said as a good dad good and judge, then paused.
Good husband.
I think he's getting it.
Good husband.
Thanks, Diane. You helped him a lot.
Right. That was a happier time. We're now in a meaner time on day three. Kavanaugh's confirmation. He's doing so well. Why do we even need a day three? We're seeing it because the Democrats think they have another way to delay the game.
Number one.
Based on those conversations, came away feeling totally confident that this was truly the official in the Trump administration that they claimed they were. Then we started having the conversation about anonymity.
Jim Dow of the New York Times editorial, where he is editor there. There's an anonymous editorial there that says it's coming from a high-ranking official with the Trump administration, talking about how bad and unworthy President Trump is to have that job and how the staff has to overcome him while citing all the success they've had. Can the chaos get any worse? We can only ask one man.
Now it is time to clear the airwaves of the Brian Kilmeade Show for the original receptive voice.
That is the stupidest line I've ever heard. I don't know why they keep using it.
What should we call you, Mr. Wallace?
I'd like once in my life somebody to say Chris Wallace, oligarch.
The man who sat with Vladimir Putin. The man who vacations in Russia. The man who calls George Clooney a friend. Chris Wallace, oligarch.
That's it. Hey, Chris.
You thought it was going to go on?
Yeah, I didn't know if they added something. That he is. He's the man. So,
well, I got to tell you, and I'm going to just start with what I know you're going to ask me about. The answer is no. I have never seen anything like this in my career. Maybe at the worst depths of Watergate. But, you know, here's an administration that there have been no charges. It's going along. And it just feels like the wheels are coming off. First, you had the Woodward book, which was, you know, very damaging. Right, but we have people have read it. Although, interestingly enough, we wanted to get a copy so we could talk about it on Sunday. But because the pub date isn't until next Tuesday, the publisher said, no, we're not going to give you a copy. So, in any case, and then this extraordinary article, op-ed piece in the New York Times from a, quote, senior administration official, basically saying that there are a number of people inside the administration who feel they have to protect the country from the president they work for. I've never seen anything like it.
Here's the reaction from other networks and ours. Cut six.
In a stunning new op-ed in the New York Times, an unnamed top Trump administration official excoriates the president and reveals a resistance bloc within the Trump team trying to protect the country from the commander-in-chief.
It is an extraordinary piece in the New York Times that really backs up Bob Woodward's book.
The column in the New York Times is extraordinary.
I've never seen anything like this in modern presidential history.
This is incredibly unusual, almost unprecedented.
James Bennett, the New York Times editorial director, said he received the column before the Woodward book excerpts came out. He says the preference is not to publish anonymous editorials, but this was important enough to do so. Here's what Jim Dow said about its origin. Cut one.
You know, we had to work to try to confirm that this person was real and get us to a point where we were 100% confident they were who they are.
Right. And made more complicated, I assume, by the fact that you're working with an intermediary.
Yes, but I did then have direct communication with the writer, mm-hmm. and did a certain amount of background checking, and based on those conversations, came away feeling totally confident that this was truly the official in the Trump administration that they claimed they were. Mm-hmm. Then we started having the conversation about anonymity.
The shooting's coming from the inside. So evidently the president was beside himself about this. You could understand it. Everybody canceled their meetings. They broke up into small discussion groups. Nothing got done yesterday afternoon. So, Chris, where do you go from here? How long does this story last?
Oh, this is going to last a while. It's going to last, and I was talking to some folks. But let me just say, here in Washington, it is the only thing people are talking about. And I can't tell you how many conversations I've already had today here in the Fox News Washington Bureau about it. And this is why this is going to last much longer than the Woodward book, because it's now become a guessing game. Because everybody is speculating about either the specific person it is, the words that were used. You know, everybody has become, it's like the White House CSI. Everybody is trying to, you know, put the little shards of evidence together and figure out who it is. And nothing obsesses Washington more than that kind of thing. You remember back when Bill Clinton became president, and this book, Primary Colors, was written
sure.
with all kind of juicy and not particularly flattering details about Bill Clinton. And the author was anonymous. That was the name on the cover of the book. And that obsessed Washington for months until finally somebody figured out it was Joe Klein, a very plugged-in reporter. One of the keys in this, though, and I will say the New York Times has a credibility on the line, is senior administration official, which is the only way to describe the author of this. It can either be 10 people who are real senior administration officials whom we all know, and I think, you know, if it's one of those people we'd all agree, well, that's a senior administration official. Or senior administration official could refer to the deputy assistant secretary at some agency. And if it's that, if it's literally somebody that most people, most of us have never heard of, that's going to very much hurt the credibility of the Times when it comes out. And I think it probably will come out.
So I pulled this out because Lindsey Graham is taking some heat these days because he likes Senator McCain. And McCain hated the president, and he also has become friendly with this president. Now, I've talked to Martin off camera. He enjoys the president's company. They golf together. He criticized the president, as you know, probably on your show. But at the same time, he identifies with the agenda. And he told me, listen, I called up Senator McCain. I said, listen, he's doing a lot of the things that you and I would have done if we had won. And he didn't care. He goes, he disrespected me and disrespected those who serve. So this is what he wrote. Fate will be determined by the results he achieves for the American people, not by a book or by a process. By any reasonable measure, we have one of the strongest economies in modern history. President Trump has rebuilt a broken military, and we are pushing back hard against America's enemies. He's being a sober mind in the middle of a tornado.
Well, I agree. I mean, and that's the in a sense, and probably tragedy is too strong a word to use because I'm not sure it is a tragedy, but that's the sad thing about this presidency, is if you look at it by the results, if you look at it not by what Trump says or tweets, but what Trump does, it's been quite a successful, quite a conventional conservative presidency on foreign policy, on taxes and regulation, Lord knows on appointments to the courts. But I think you have to say this honestly, that this president has been so inflammatory in his language, in his tweets, sometimes in his behavior, that one would argue that he has been his own worst enemy. I mean, think how we would be judging this president if he hadn't done some of the things that people object to, some said and tweeted some of the things that people object to. I know a lot of your listeners are going to sit there and say, well, he's successful anyway, and that's how he got elected president, that's how he's going to behave. But I think that he would have a much more successful presidency and be able to get even more stuff done if he didn't create controversies for himself so often. And the fact is, I don't doubt for a second that there is this kind of disorder in the administration. I've heard it from people myself, people in the administration. It's been reliably reported. You know, this is not the first. It's the second time that Chief of Staff John Kelly has been reported to have called the president an idiot. Tillerson reportedly and never denied that he had called the president a moron. I guess what I'm saying is that there is a disarray in this White House that we've never seen before, and as the person in charge, to a large degree, it's the job of a president, of any leader, to make sure his organization runs, and, you know, if there's loyalty up, there's also got to be loyalty down, and clearly that's lacking in
Chris,
this administration.
I'm just going to give you an idea of how everybody else is feasting on this. CNN, for example, here are the chyrons. Resistance op-ed test President Trump's paranoia. Resistance, how would the 25th Amendment work? Unnamed senior official cabinet whispered about the 25th Amendment. Now, I see that the 25th Amendment, I know they speculated on that early, but the guy just came off 2 years of campaigning. The American people said, okay with me, but now the people that work with him say he's different, even though for 40 years he's built this empire, but now all of a sudden he's unfit. I know he's unconventional and unorthodox, but I'm not necessarily saying that is wrong. I want to move over to Kavanaugh because right now I'm trying to make heads or tails of this while on the radio, but it looks like we're in another delay of game about a document that Cory Booker might have found that he says talks about racial profiling. And now we can't even get started on day three of the hearings. You can't even have a good disruption now. And you know you've got to get to 70 again because right now Democrats are slowing this down. Do you know what's happening?
Well, I'm talking to you, so I don't know what's happening right at this second. Clearly, Democrats, and they got a lot of criticism yesterday from the left for not being tough enough. And you know, you looked at some of these people like Sheldon Whitehouse and Amy Klobuchar, and it seemed like they were kind of going through the motions. There were some moments. There was a very interesting moment that most of us didn't see because it happened at night, but I watched it this morning on tape, where Kamala Harris asked him, did you ever talk to somebody in the law firm, the personal lawyer of the president, about the Mueller investigation? And that was kind of interesting. It didn't seem to go anywhere. But Democrats are under tremendous pressure from the left, from the base, to throw some kind of wrench into the machinery here and stop this, because it sure looks like on the first Monday in October, when the Supreme Court sits down for its new term, they're going to have 9 justices, and one of them is going to be Brett Kavanaugh. And so you can kind of understand, people say, well, why are they doing another round of questioning? When somebody is getting a lifetime appointment and of that consequence, I think he needs to go through the ringer, whether it's a Republican, a Democrat, a liberal, or a conservative. I don't know enough about the details of what's going on right now with Cory Booker to know whether this seems legit or not. It sure seemed like they were having Democrats something of a temper tantrum the first day.
Yeah, it was incredible. I just don't think they're converting anyone. That's the frustration. It's not like, well, you know what? That's a great answer, I'm in. Or that's a bad answer, I'm out. It's all
this is
a WWE match.
This is going to go on for 3 days, and a lot of it's, you know, on national television, and it's going to change no minds. The Republicans on that committee are all going to vote for him. The Democrats on that committee are all going to vote against him. And that's too bad. Lindsey Graham had a moment yesterday where he was talking, and he said, the president named you Brett Kavanaugh at 9 o'clock on the night of July 9th, which happened to be his birthday, which he was tickled by. And he said, in an hour and 18 minutes, you became a threat to democracy, because everybody from Chuck Schumer to Nancy Pelosi to Warren, to Elizabeth Warren, to Bernie Sanders and Kamala Harris, a member of this committee, all came out within an hour and 18 minutes and said they were opposing your nomination. So there's not a lot of open minds here.
Exactly. Chris, I'm going to have an open mind with you, because we do not yet know the top story on Sunday. We know one of the contenders.
I think we know the top story. Anonymous? We don't know who the guests are to talk about it. But I think it's going to be this extraordinary situation, which is the state of the Trump presidency. And, both in substance and also just the clear, there's no question that there is resistance within. And some people would say this is people trying to protect the nation from the president. Some people would say it's treason. But that's going to be the top story. Nothing's going to beat this.
I don't know if you've been keeping a whole watching the news of late, but it's just Thursday. There could actually be something bigger.
I know. You make a point.
He is Chris Wallace.
But let me just say this. If it gets worse than this, I'm not sure I want to be there on Sunday.
No, you wouldn't want to be anywhere else. You just wouldn't, whether you have commercials or not, it'll be the whole thing. Chris Wallace, thanks so much.
Thank you, Brian.
One of the most popular talk show hosts in the country. Because, darn it, people like him.
Why do I go on the Brian Kilmeade Show? Because, compared to Rachel Maddow, you're terrific.
You're with Brian Kilmeade. Here's a special message for those of you who owe the IRS at least $10,000 or more in back taxes. The IRS has special programs in place that could eliminate or reduce your tax debt by thousands of dollars. Call the Federal Tax Management Helpline that has been set up for you, 800-233-8540. Stop the wage garnishments, levies, and tax liens now. Once you've qualified and enrolled, the IRS will stop all the collection activities against you. These unique programs have been allocated to help the economy and significantly reduce or eliminate your tax burden. The IRS is currently accepting reduced settlements and other favorable programs. You may qualify for substantial savings, so get the help you need. If you owe more than $10,000 in taxes, call for free information and to see if you qualify. Take down the number now for the Federal Tax Management Hotline, 800-233-8540. That's 800-233-8540. 800-233-8540.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-545-0785. That's 1-800-545-0785. Again, 1-800-545-0785.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell with Maxwell Insurance and Financial. As a community, we are all recovering from the car fire. We understand the seriousness of this disaster and the frustration of dealing with the insurance companies. Insurance policies can be very difficult to understand. If you have questions about your insurance policy and need help in any way, please feel free to give us a call at 221-0441. This is Judy Maxwell with Maxwell Insurance and Financial.
Securities offered through Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated, a SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Judy Maxwell, representative. Maxwell Insurance and Financial and Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated are not affiliated. The information presented is intended for educational purposes only. It is not intended to replace the advice of an attorney or a qualified tax professional. This is not an offer or solicitation in any jurisdiction where they are not authorized to do business. Registered branch address, 1378 Hilltop Drive, Redding, California, 9600.
One country act is great, but Red Sun Festival is bringing you five country acts on an outdoor stage to benefit car fire relief. It's a full-volume country fest on the Redding Civic Auditorium lawn, Sunday, September 30th, with Farron Rachels, David Lunning, Carly Pierce, Frankie Ballard, and headliners Eli Young Band. It's a huge show with a huge heart. $5 from every ticket, plus all net proceeds and donations from the band go to car fire relief efforts. Every ticket matters. If the festival sells out, that's $250,000 donated. We promise bars, food trucks, and fun. So check out RedSunFestival.com for details. Rock all day Saturday, September 29th, and country on Sunday, September 30th on the Redding Civic lawn. Get tickets at RedSunFestival.com or the Redding Civic box office. Sponsored in part by Dutch Bros, 10 Barrel Brewing Company, and Budweiser.
From Fox News Talk, here's another sound memory.
Politics and politicians were a big target of the Murphy Brown TV series, which first aired in 1988. Candace Bergen was the star reporter of the fictional network news magazine FYI. Murphy loved Motown music, which was often used as the opening theme. The closing theme, however, heard here, was written by Steve Dorff.
Tune to hear more sound memories on Fox News Talk.
Of course, there's a lot of speculation now about who wrote this, and this, to me, is the most interesting theory. Somebody online noticed an unusual word in the op-ed, and the word was lodestar. They wrote, "We may no longer have Senator McCain, but we will always have as example a lodestar for restoring honor to public life," which is, that's not a common word, lodestar. Not a lot of people use that word, but you know who does use that word? This guy.
It really was the lodestar.
And that's going to continue to be a lodestar.
Jack's lodestar
as our lodestar.
You are a lodestar.
Lodestar.
Wouldn't that be something if it was Mike Pence? Trump just announced that the Space Force's first mission is to locate and destroy the Lodestar, whatever that may be.
There you go. Could it be Mike Pence? I doubt it. Kevin, listen on WNIS in Norfolk, Virginia. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Brian. Yeah, I'm calling in about the op-ed. I've got three or four concerns about it. It's pretty much a regurgitated attack from 9 months ago where Trump's physician did a 30-point cognitive test and said he passed with flying colors. I don't think the Times op-ed and Bob Woodward's book released before the midterms is a coincidence. I think it's a well-timed propaganda hit piece. You know, Chris Wallace said it would discredit the story if the person turned out to be obscure, but they've already admitted that they had to vet who the person was and if they really were a senior official, which means we've never heard of this person. So by Chris Wallace's definition, that person's already been discredited. But finally, I'll say, you know, I looked up that conspiracy against the United States, and to obstruct the president's function by stealing classified documents off his desk to protect national security is actually a conspiracy against the United States that the person confessed to in the op-ed.
Yeah, is it Gary Cohn that took something off his desk, or Rob Porter, because he didn't like what the president said he wanted to do? Incredible. Kevin, hang on there, and I want everybody else to stay in there. When we come back, I'm going to talk about the Kaepernick situation, then open up your calls with Jim Gray and Nike. Man, we have a lot to discuss.
Get ready to laugh because Riverfront Playhouse is bringing you a show about a normal guy who has a ton of everyday problems that everyone can relate to. Hilarity will ensue as Jasper navigates from mundane career obstacles, awkward romantic encounters, right down to the daily commute. Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present Somewhere in Between, written by Craig Pospisil, directed by Chris Gomez. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store on Placer Street in Reading. Showtimes Friday and Saturday 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, September 22nd through October 13th. Mature themes and language, so viewer discretion is advised.
The average adult has issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Monday Night Football is back, baby. Raiders, Niners, Seahawks, Cowboys, Vikings, where you at? Bet the Bookie returns again this year with Kenny Breedlove. Win cash and prizes every Monday night. Monday Night Football kicks off this year with a doubleheader on September 10th. The Jets versus the Lions, and the Rams take on the Raiders. Come get your football fix at Shameless O'Leary's. The best wings, burgers, and Irish nachos in town, plus over 16 brews on tap and over 100 unique whiskeys behind the bar. Wear your favorite team jersey and come play Bet the Bookie every Monday night. It's free to play and an absolute blast for couples or serious football fans. Place your bet and win. Don't forget Sunday Funday with the NFL ticket and Sunday brunch. Bloodies, mimosas, and a full breakfast menu. If you want to watch football, make it Shameless O'Leary's, California Street, downtown Reading.
Football, you say? Well, I've got $100 here. Says football's supposed to be played with your feet.
Are you entertainment-minded? Do you like to hear people discuss fun topics?
Well, we talk about all things pop culture.
From movies and TV to books, music, games, and everything in between. But with a twist, everything is not very current.
We'll talk about things we recently discovered and have decided we just have to share our thoughts on.
Which gives us the title of our show.
We're a little behind.
Hosted by us, Chris and Jen Gomez.
Join us every Tuesday night from 6 to 7 p.m. for We're a Little Behind. Right here on Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460 AM.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
October 30th, 1974. It was the Rumble in the Jungle. World heavyweight champion George Foreman and former world champion Muhammad Ali entered the ring in Zaire in one of the first Don King promoted boxing matches. Muhammad Ali regained the world title from a younger and stronger Foreman and spoke to the press after the fight.
I had one hell of a Rumble. I had to beat Tarzan's behind first for claiming to be the king in the jungle. For this fight, I've wrestled with alligators. I've tussled with the whale. I done handcuffed lightning and put thunder in jail. You know I'm bad. I have murdered a rock. I injured a stone and I hospitalized a brick. I'm so bad I make medicine sick. I'm so fast, man, I can run through a hurricane and don't get wet.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
This is Fox on Justice. The courts have spoken. Animals are not people in the eyes of the law. In recent years, judges have ruled that monkeys, chimps, and whales do not have legal standing. But a group called the Animal Legal Defense Fund is not giving up. It's suing on behalf of an 8-year-old American quarter horse in Oregon. The horse used to be named Shadow, but now he's called Justice. Photos show Justice wasn't cared for well by his owner, who pleaded guilty to criminal neglect. But now the ALDF is suing on behalf of Justice, asking for $100,000 damages for pain and suffering. They argue that Oregon law says animals are sentient beings and they can be considered victims of cruelty, so therefore they should have the right to sue their abusers. Justice is doing better these days, but he doesn't have any understanding that he's the focus of this legal battle. A lawyer for the Animal Legal Defense Fund says that doesn't matter. They just want justice for justice. With Fox on Justice, Hank Weinblum, Fox News.
He's so busy,
he'll make your
head spin. It's Brian Kilmeade.
When you had your exchange today with Senator Cornyn, were you aware that those emails, those documents were already released and were not committee confidential?
Well, I released the documents last night by reading from them in violation of the Senate rules. So I did that, and then they rushed, actually subverting their own process. They rushed to then release them after I shamed them publicly.
Wow, Senator Cory Booker publicly shamed the Republicans. And I guess Brett Kavanaugh. Is that the case? Let's ask one of their members, Senate Judiciary Committee member, Senator Lindsey Graham. Senator, were you shamed into doing that?
Well, no. So if you're a law student, you need to watch this hearing to find out what not to do if you ever get to be a lawyer. So Cory Booker, I like. Trey Gowdy nailed it with Cory. He's a good guy. He's under a lot of pressure to perform in this hearing to stop Kavanaugh. So here's what I would suggest. This was not a Spartacus moment. It's more like Mike Dukakis in a tank driving around not knowing where you're going to go. How does he explain trying to impeach Judge Kavanaugh with a document accusing him of being part of a racial profiling scheme when in the document itself Kavanaugh rejected the idea of racial profiling to protect the country? So clearly they're not reading the documents before they use them. They're making a big deal about releasing the documents, not knowing that they've already been released. It became a comedy of errors. It didn't hurt Kavanaugh, but I do believe it hurt our Democratic friends.
Well, let me ask some. Did you guys make it worse, easier for Democrats to criticize you because so many documents weren't released? Could you have pushed the Bush administration to do a little more in retrospect?
Well, all I can say is the American Bar Association just released their report, highly qualified, highest rating for Judge Kavanaugh. They talked to people, dozens if not hundreds of people who knew the judge. They read all of his opinions. They talked to him for 3.5 hours. And they were able to conclude that he was one of the most highly qualified people in the country to be on the Supreme Court, unanimously recommended him to be well qualified, the best intellect, the highest level of integrity. So the information is there for a reasonable person to evaluate Judge Kavanaugh's intellect and capabilities and temperament. The document problem is a created political problem. I think Brasley did a good job. Could we have done more? I don't know, but I do know this. He's on the court for 12 years, Brian, 307 opinions. There's no mystery about who this man is. And the documents were used for a reason, and as to create a narrative to justify a no vote. The final thing I'd like to say is, if you vote no, that's fine. If you don't like him because he's a conservative, that's fine. But Trump does get the right to pick, like Obama did, a qualified person from his lane, the conservative lane. What I do resent is to suggest he's not honest, to suggest that he had a conversation with a person in a 300-man-woman law firm about Mueller when there's no evidence of it, to suggest that he was somehow involved in stealing documents from the Democrats, which he was not, to suggest that he's not being honest to the committee. I really resented that.
Senator Lindsey Graham's with us right now. That's true. The other thing, just worth bringing up, Kamala Harris goes down this venue. She's saying essentially, hey, Brett Kavanaugh, did you meet with any of the Trump law firm lawyers? Right. I guess Karowitz, the law firm, he's got about 300 members in it. And that was where he was going, as if she was in cahoots with the Trump team to get out of jail free.
Well, see, that's what I resent. I mean, I like Senator Harris, but she's under a lot of pressure also. But this is out of bounds as far as I'm concerned, to, by innuendo, suggest that the judge acted improperly by talking to a member of the law firm of the former president's lawyer with no evidence of it. She suggested, you know what I'm talking about. And he said, no, ma'am, I do not. I don't know who you're talking about. There's 300 people in the law firm. So what happened? Nothing. There was no evidence of Judge Kavanaugh talking with anybody in the Katzwitz law firm about Mueller inappropriately, but it was suggested. It was suggested that he was involved with stealing the documents that Mr. Miranda stole. He had nothing to do with that. That's what really bothers me. They took the law and turned it upside down to suggest he was out of the mainstream. So the whole hearing was a disappointment.
So the other thing that just stunned me, and every day I'm always in uncharted waters. I wish I could get used to this job a little. In the afternoon on Wednesday, an editorial comes out from an anonymous person, a senior Trump official, that talked about essentially how all Trump's surrogates and cabinet appointees are working against him.
Right.
So some of the quotes that came out are devastating. They really show the president as disjointed and unqualified for the job. So here's one of the examples. President Trump's impulses are generally anti-trade, anti-democratic, but these successes have come despite, not because of, the president's leadership style, which is impetuous, adversarial, petty, and ineffective. He says this, he or she says, to be clear, ours is not the popular resistance on the left. We want the administration to succeed and think that many of its policies have already made America safer and better. But we believe our first duty is to the country, and the president continues to act in a manner that is detrimental to the health of our republic. Do you recognize this description? Do you agree with it?
No. Matter of fact, I reject the concept of this op-ed piece. Anonymous op-ed piece suggesting our president is mentally unstable and unqualified to hold the office. This anonymous person does not understand that the president ran on reshaping the trade agenda, and he's doing it. That the president ran on destroying ISIS, he's doing this. The president ran on the idea of rebuilding the military, he's doing this. The president ran on the idea of cutting taxes, he's doing this. He gave us a list of 25 people he had picked from if he got to be president, to be on the Supreme Court. He's picked two of the 25. So to the person who's writing the op-ed piece, you clearly missed the entire damn campaign. Everything he said he would do, he's doing. He would deregulate America. He would put conservative judge on the court. He would rebuild the military. He would cut our taxes. He would take the fight to ISIS. We'd be respected again. He'd get out of the Iranian agreement. Isn't it kind of odd that everything he said he would do, he's doing? So Mr. Anonymous, Mrs. Anonymous, you clearly missed the entire campaign. Here's what this is about. The New York Times is the choir director of the left. They give them their marching orders. If you're in the mainstream media, you read the New York Times as the paper of record. If you're on the left, they're your standard bearer. They're the choir director. it's no accident, in my view, that they put an op-ed piece out suggesting the stability of the president, that he's crazy, that he's not stable, that he's crazy, that people around him have thought about invoking the 25th Amendment, which is all garbage. You know why they're doing it? Because they know that Mueller has found nothing on Russia. For 2 years, we've been told that the Trump campaign, in a nefarious, inappropriate, illegal way, colluded with the Russians. So here's what this op-ed piece tells me, timing and content, that the New York Times knows that Mueller's found nothing between Trump and Russia, so they're starting a new narrative. If he didn't collude with the Russians, well, how about this? He's crazy. That's what this is all about. They're setting a new narrative because there's nothing there when it comes to Mueller, Trump, and Russia.
So a couple of things. I remember when you walked into a meeting one time and you thought you had an immigration deal and you came out and you said, man, that got dark very quick. Because I remember it got volatile. You never said he was incompetent. You never said he was crazy, but no. You wished the meeting went better. Did you do you see some of these things that make you nervous about the way he conducts policy meetings?
Well, I can say that he was in a good mood about immigration, but his staff turned him against the deal. Not him. He actually was open-minded to wall for DACA and immigration reform. In this case, I know for 100% fact that Trump wasn't the problem. It was his staff. All I can say is that my staff tries to keep me from screwing up. That's why we have staff. I have seen around the president the most competent, capable people on national security that I've ever seen. Larry Kudlow is doing a great job as his economic advisor. On trade, we're beginning to win. There are times that the president says things I don't like. He tweets things I don't like. He can be a handful, but he was elected to change things. And to Mr. or Mrs. Anonymous, you clearly missed Trump's campaign because everything that has happened, he campaigned that he would make happen.
Now, from the best that you know him, I'd get mad if I was him, and then when a quiet moment, I'd say, man, this is depressing. I'm trying to win people over on the outside, and I can't win people over on the inside. What do you think he's like when the TV's off and that once in a while he does turn it off? Does he walk up the stairs, and do you think that he is down about this, that there's someone he hired or maybe more than one that thinks this way?
Well, put yourself – I know how I would think if some former staff member of Senator Graham wrote an article – anonymously trashing out who I am and the way I do business. It would bother me. It would disappoint me. I would be mad. And here's what I would tell the president. You don't have the luxury of dwelling on things that don't matter. You should be hurt. You should be offended. And the person who did this should be fired. Bob Woodward's book is not going to be outcome determinative in 2020. The policies will be. The op-ed piece won't matter. The policies will. But I want your audience to know that the reason this new narrative is coming from the New York Times, based on an op-ed piece anonymous in nature to suggest the president is not fit for office, is because I truly believe the whole Russia thing is bearing no fruit. That they're starting a new line of attack because there's no collusion between Trump and Russia. So the next line of attack is going to be he's unfit for office.
Senator, if that is the case, that means that means the New York Times is set up only to oppose the president. That means they only exist to oppose the president.
That is not breaking news. That's, okay. So I said this in front of a bunch of reporters today. They said, are you suggesting there's a conspiracy? Yes, I'm suggesting that the New York Times' whole reason for living is to oppose this president, that they have great journalists, but their editorial page is his liberal standard bearer. They're the choir director for the left, that they're center of gravity for the left in this country, that the paper is going to do everything they can to help defeat Donald Trump, and it was an editorial decision to publish this op-ed piece, not a journalistic decision. This wasn't news. This was opinion. It was put in the most prominent newspaper in the country, in many people's views, that choir directs the left, and it was designed to start a new narrative because I really believe they know that Russia collusion is going nowhere, that Mueller won't find anything.
I hear you. Lastly, North Korea. I'm not sure what to make of this, but evidently President Trump is not on Kim Jong-un's bad list. He says the South Korean envoy said that they told him that their goal is to denuclearize during his term, and that nothing, and Kim Jong-un has not said anything, according to his envoy, bad about the president since they have met, and the propaganda has come down. Having said that, what do you think, Senator Graham?
I think we're at a moment where we may get an outcome that's beneficial to North Korea and the world at large. I think what the president's offering Kim Jong-un is condos or death. If you continue to build missiles with nuclear weapons on top to attack our homeland, I will destroy your regime. If you will abandon that quest, give up your nuclear weapons, I'll sign a peace treaty and ensuring your security. I'll help you build up your country to make it a better place to live. He's giving him a stark choice. I think Kim Jong-un believes that the president would use military force if he had to, but he also believes that the president would work with him to have the regime survive and go in a different direction.
Senator, the line of the week is condos or death. That'll go on. Patrick Henry, move over.
Condos or death, Rocket Man. Pick one of the two. Those are your choices. Staying in Syria, Mr. President, that's an insurance policy against the rise of ISIS. When it comes to Afghanistan, our troops are a wall against between us and radical Islam coming out of Iraq and Afghanistan. The troops are a wall. The Mexican wall, border wall, is the last line of defense, not the first line of defense. The first line of defense is our soldiers overseas protecting against radical Islam. If you withdraw these troops from Afghanistan, you're taking down the wall. Don't do it. I know that generals are telling you not. Our soldiers in Afghanistan are a wall against radical Islam protecting this country. It's the first line of defense. You're gotcha. Right about Syria. Break Iran's back. Keep it up.
He is Senator Lindsey Graham. Senator, good luck at the hearings the rest of the day. I'll be watching the circus. Make sure
Thank
if you,
you
go to break around 12, you tossed outnumbered because I'll be on.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Take care, pal.
Back in a moment.
This is the Brian Kilmeade Show. Here's a special message for those of you who owe the IRS at least $10,000 or more in back taxes. The IRS has special programs in place that could eliminate or reduce your tax debt by thousands of dollars. Call the Federal Tax Management Helpline that has been set up for you, 800-233-8540. Stop the wage garnishments, levies, and tax liens now. Once you've qualified and enrolled, the IRS will stop all the collection activities against you. These unique programs have been allocated to help the economy and significantly reduce or eliminate your tax burden. The IRS is currently accepting reduced settlements and other favorable programs. You may qualify for substantial savings, so get the help you need. If you owe more than $10,000 in taxes, call for free information and to see if you qualify. Take down the number now for the Federal Tax Management Hotline, 800-233-8540. That's 800-233-8540. 800-233-8540.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-545-0785. That's 1-800-545-0785. Again, 1-800-545-0785.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Talk.
I'm from Skipback. That's where my business is. And if I send something from Skipback to Skipback, it costs more than sending something from Beijing to Skipback.
And why is that? Because there's a subsidy that helped the Chinese e-commerce business make money here in America. Ami Horowitz was able to bring this forward, get the message to the president. And Ami Horowitz, political filmmaker, political satirist, welcome back, Ami. What happened after you heard about this subsidy?
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely insane. It doesn't make any sense. We've been subsidizing Chinese packages. By the way, not just the legitimate packages, all the counterfeit packages, drugs that are coming in, 80% of all the precursor chemicals for meth comes from China. All that we've been subsidizing at the tunes of hundreds of millions of dollars a year and helping destroy our e-commerce businesses.
Where'd you read it?
I read an article in the Wall Street Journal about 6 months ago about a guy who made these like innovative mugs, a guy named Jamie Smaldone, and he's like, I can't compete because the Chinese are knocking off my product. It cost me a lot of money to ship it in the U.S., and these guys are knocking it off. It's cheaper, and they're shipping it for free.
So and America's subsidizing...
Subsidized all of it.
So how much money are we saving, and potentially what does it do for America's e-commerce?
Well, we're gonna save, this thing goes into effect this year. Next year we're going to save probably $150 million just from that. But that's not even the big issue. The big issue is that it's been stunting our e-commerce. Retail is a huge part of our job growth. Retail goes up, retail goes down. It's bad or good for our job for jobs in America. And this is going to help grow e-commerce companies, e-commerce jobs, because they can finally compete on an equal footing.
You got the message to the president. What did he do?
So I got the message to the president, and I went down to the White House to have a meeting. It was super cool. And they said, yeah, this is something that this has been on our radar, and this is something that really kind of helps crystallize exactly what's been going on. Every president has known about this. It's been going on for 50 years. Nobody has done anything about it. And this president, that's the way he kind of thinks. He sees something that's so obviously wrong, he says, I'm just going to change it unilaterally, which is what he's going to do.
And also, it's right back at China, too. We're in the middle of a trade war with them. I want to bring you back to something you did. You went over to Sweden, and you pointed out they have a huge immigration problem. You pointed out the violence that's taking place there. Nobody's reporting because they took in so many refugees.
Yeah.
Now we find out, and then the president mentioned that on television in one of his speeches, and they said, Sweden, what's going on with Sweden? They mocked him. Now, today, Sweden has been taking more than five times more refugees per capita than the U.S. for over a decade, and according to their economists at the University of Gothenburg, over a fifth of Sweden's 10 million people have foreign roots now, and the migrant community is often poorly, and they don't integrate. Their unemployment is 23%. The country's unemployment is 4%. They're not integrating.
No, they're not integrating at all, and the problem, this is all going... I can't fault them for wanting to help people. I mean, I think it's great they want to do that, but you have to at least be honest about what the social consequences are for your country. Massive consequences. There are roving gangs in the street. There, rape is up. Murder is up. I mean, it's a real problem. They can deny all they want. It's their statistics.
You did it. You got ridiculed for it, and the president got ridiculed for saying it, and it turns out it's 100%
correct.
100% correct. It's the anti-immigration, illegal immigration is driving people crazy. Ami, thanks so much.
Always a pleasure.
Tucker Carlson on Fox News Channel.
This is a democracy, and I sincerely think that we are the guardians of that. We'll tell you what is going on, and you can decide what you think of it. But you have a right to know. In fact, you have a duty to know. There's a lot going on underneath the surface. How will historians assess this moment? I really care about what happens to the country. This is it. This is all I'm ever going to do. It's all I've ever done. It's all I've ever wanted to do, and I'm grateful for it.
On Fox News Channel, real news, real honest opinion.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp. Get started with your idea. Call for free information.
Call us at 1-800-545-0785. That's 1-800-545.
The annual Reading East Rotary Ducky Derby is coming September 30th at Reading's Caldwell Park. Be a part of the Reading East Rotary's effort to keep our kids drug and alcohol free. First prize is a 16-sleeper houseboat vacation from Shasta Marina, valued at $2,700. Details and all the other amazing prizes, sponsor, or ticket information, go to readingduckyderby.com or call 225-8583. The 29th Annual Ducky Derby, September 30th in Caldwell Park. Get your tickets today. Brought to you by KCNR 1460 AM.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dickus.
In its zeal to declare as fraudulent all adult counseling for same-sex attraction, the California legislature may be on a collision course with the U.S. Supreme Court. You see, the Supreme Court recently declared unconstitutional California's law mandating pro-life pregnancy centers to promote abortion. In that decision, the court also rebuked the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals reasoning in their ruling which upheld California's ban on same-sex attraction counseling for minors. Well, Pacific Justice Institute agrees that this new bill for all adults, Assembly Bill 2943, will likewise ignore free speech and religious freedom as well.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
That's not unusual at this time of year.
National Hurricane Center said a rapid phase of intensification is expected to begin Sunday. Florence expected to travel between Bermuda and the Bahamas Tuesday and Wednesday before approaching the southeastern U.S. coast Thursday. Two burly Russian agents staying in a low-end London hotel were caught by security cameras doctoring a perfume flask with a deadly nerve agent.
The operation to poison ex-spy Sergei Skripal in Britain was either botched or intentionally obvious. But experts say it is hallmark grew the Russian military spy agency with a brutish reputation, thus increasingly taking on high-profile, high-risk operations to damage Russia's enemies or simply strike fear. British authorities identified two alleged GRU agents this week as the perpetrators, but the Kremlin calls the British evidence hogwash. Sarah Shackley, London.
Former President Obama not on the ballot, but he is campaigning this fall against President Trump and his allies. After staying mostly silent since leaving office, Mr. Obama kicked off the fall tour in Illinois, bluntly criticizing the sitting president and seizing on Americans' quote, fear and resentment. Vice President Pence, in an interview for Sunday's Fox News program, said the truth is the American people in 2016 rejected the policy and direction of Barack Obama when they elected Donald Trump. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-607-3551. That's 800-607-3551. 800-607-3551. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Engineers will deploy a trash collection device to corral plastic litter floating between California and Hawaii in an attempt to clean up the world's largest garbage patch in the heart of the Pacific Ocean. Evan Schwartz with the California Coastal Commission says they would not need to clean up the ocean if people stopped throwing trash into it.
The danger from this project is that it can become a distraction to the important work we need to do on land to stop this trash from entering the ocean in the first place.
The 2,000-foot-long floating boom is being towed from San Francisco to the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, which is an island of trash twice the size of Texas. Workers with paintbrushes and brooms put the final touches on Pyongyang's iconic Kim Il-sung Square as North Korea prepares for what promises to be its biggest celebration in years, the 70th anniversary of the country's official birth. More at townhall.com. The two candidates for the race in Georgia for the governor's seat find themselves in a dead heat, according to a new poll.
Vice President Mike Pence scheduled to come to Georgia to campaign for a second time with Brian Kemp, the Republican candidate for Georgia governor who's running on a conservative agenda. The latest Atlanta Journal-Constitution poll shows a tied race between Kemp and Democrat Stacey Abrams. Right now, it's dead even, each candidate getting 45% of the vote, 8% say they're still undecided, and 2% say they'll vote for Libertarian candidate Ted Metz. Robert Walensky, Atlanta.
Dallas's police chief says a warrant for manslaughter has not been issued for an officer who killed a man in his home because the Texas Rangers are asking her department to wait. Chief Renee Hall says state investigators say they needed more time to investigate the Thursday night fatal shooting of the 26-year-old man who was shot in his own home after the officer returned from work and mistook his apartment for her own. This is townhall.com.
Ready to make more money, break more ground, and achieve more of your life's goals? With free tuition at Shasta College, now is your chance to get more out of life. We all know that education is the key to a bigger paycheck and a brighter future, and Shasta College is committed to providing the best in affordable, accessible higher education that opens more doors. Whether you're looking to transfer to a bachelor's degree program, complete a professional degree, or secure a certification in a high-demand field, there's never been a better time to start demanding more. Shasta College grads are building more businesses, saving more lives, and attending more four-year universities. And with more programs and classes to choose from, what more could you ask for? Well, since you asked, if you're a first-time, full-time student, the Shasta Promise Program will cover your entire tuition for the first year. That's right, your Shasta College tuition is free. A new semester starts soon. Enroll now before the class time you want is gone. Start getting more out of your future today. Visit shastacollege.edu/apply or call 530-242-7500 to enroll now. Shasta College, more possibilities.
Join us for the third annual Nick Dahl Memorial Golf Tournament on September 22nd. Proceeds from this event sponsor housing for local homeless veterans at the Reading Veterans Resource Center. Since 2016, this event has sponsored housing for 41 veterans. Having a safe place has enabled many of these vets to begin rebuilding their lives by receiving much-needed VA medical care. Many have obtained employment, enrolled in college, or even transitioned into their own housing. Together, we are making a difference for our local veterans. For more information, call 227-7808.
Slap at the bottom of the hour, chairman of the American Conservative Union, whose wife works inside the Trump administration, where they're getting a lot done. They're racking up achievements, but man, they're one controversy after the next. Some good news is happening after some chaos early. It looks as though they now got back to questioning Justice Kavanaugh about being a Supreme Court justice. In the beginning, it was Cory Booker, I'm going to expose, secure documents, and throw me out of the Senate if you have to, and please vote for me for 2020. He actually sent out a fundraiser after his theatrics in day one of these hearings. What an embarrassment. Big three.
Now, with the stories you need to know, it's Brian's Big Three. Number three.
Believe in something.
even if it means sacrificing everything.
So don't ask if your dreams are crazy. Ask if they're crazy enough.
Yeah, crazy dreams. Being a backup quarterback to Blaine Gabbert and with the San Francisco 49ers and putting him in the same ad as Serena Williams and LeBron James. Nike's ad causing controversy, but do they want that? They unveil how deep their relationship is with Kaepernick. The two-minute spot will air tonight on Thursday Night Football. Tell me if you're offended. More than likely, if you are, you are pro-law enforcement. You shouldn't have to make that choice.
Number two.
When asked how he'd like to be remembered, said as a good dad good and judge, then paused.
Good husband.
I think he's getting there.
Good husband.
Thanks, Diane. You helped him a lot.
Senator Lindsey Graham trying to add some levity, and Senator Feinstein for once smiled and had some fun when he forgot to say how he's going to be remembered and to mention his wife. So far, he's doing well. Why do we, what is day number three going to bring? Well, we're finally down to business. They might be cutting it off at 2 o'clock because of some arcane rule. Senator Schumer says we can't have regular business, Senate business, and have these hearings.
Number one.
Based on those conversations, came away feeling totally confident that this was truly the official in the Trump administration that they claimed they were. Then we started having the conversation about anonymity.
And there you go. Jim Dow with the New York Times talking about what went in to accepting the anonymous column from a Trump high-ranking senior Trump official of the administration who goes out and essentially says the president is simply unfit and we are overcoming a lot of his inadequacies. I've never seen anything like it. But as Karl Rove, Karl, have you read that, as you've read that op-ed, what are your thoughts?
Well, pretty extraordinary. Look, every administration has to deal with people sort of saying, I'm here to save the administration from itself. But this is of a magnitude far beyond the normal and ordinary. I remember during the first term of George W. Bush, we often had State Department officials leaking to the press about how dumb everybody was at the Department of Defense and the National Security Council. And it was sort of like we sort of knew who it was, but it was sort of the necessary nit-nat stuff you had to put up with in Washington. But this is of a magnitude far beyond that. It's just extraordinary.
So it's an anonymous editorial. They got it on Monday. New York Times published it Wednesday afternoon. Did they do the right thing?
Well, look, they're in the news business, and this was news. But we'll never know, I suspect, who the, quote, senior administration official is. Well, that could be, you know, the assistant to the president or the deputy undersecretary for widgets and gadgets in the Department of you've never heard of. So we won't know. I do think this. Look, this is extraordinary. Coming on the heels of the Woodward book, I can just understand how the president is just furious about this and feels a sense of betrayal, because it is a betrayal of him. But my advice would be move on. Don't draw attention to it. Be bigger. You know, show confidence. When the president calls it treason and shows his anger, it probably gives to the author of the op-ed some personal satisfaction. Don't give him that. Just move on. Stay focused on the big things. If you somehow or another find out who it is, fine. You know what to do. Ask for their resignation. But the president's got better things to do than to demonstrate the I'm sure appropriate anger that he has at being betrayed like this.
Well, evidently he's tearing up the White House because of it. All business stopped yesterday, not on his behest, but because everyone was stunned. You know, the shooting coming from the inside. Here's just an excerpt, just to give people an idea who don't get the New York Times thrown on their driveway. To be clear, this is what they wrote. Here's an excerpt. To be clear, ours is not the popular resistance of the left. We want the administration to succeed, and we think that many of its policies have already made America safer and more prosperous. But we believe our first duty to this country and to the president, and the president continues to act in a manner that is detrimental to the health of our republic. In addition to mass marketing of the notion that the press is the enemy of the people, President Trump's impulses are generally anti-trade, anti-democratic, but these successes have come despite, not because of, the president's leadership style, which is impetuous, adversarial, petty, and ineffective. This could be an excerpt from some of the statements coming from those who looking to salute John McCain over the weekend.
Yeah. Well, look, if you like the president, you're not going to be moved by the op-ed. Just as if you like the president, you weren't going to be moved by Woodward's book. If you dislike the president, you're going to find a lot to sort of reinforce your conviction. But ultimately this fall, the election is going to be decided by people who, whether they like the president or don't like the president, like his policies. And the question is, the people who have who don't like the president's style but like the results, can the administration and can individual candidates lay out a message that says, put your focus on results and what we're trying to do and what we've done, and let those overcome any concerns that you might have about his style and his manner and his tweeting. And I think if the administration does that, they have the better chance in the election than by having the president express his, and I admit, completely understandable anger at both the book and the the Woodward book and the op-ed. Look, I was in a White House where I think we had three or four Woodward books, some of them good, some of them not so good, all of them problematic, and all of them, you know, sourced by – I'm sure for each one of those, like for this latest book, Woodward had plenty of tapes of somebody saying something, but oftentimes it was somebody saying, well, here's what I heard that so-and-so said, or I was told that so-and-so said this at this time. It was rarely, I suspect, somebody saying, well, I said this, or I heard this, you know, I was right there, and he repeated it to me, you know, et cetera.
A couple of things. Mike McCurry writes an op-ed today about Bob Woodward. He said, Woodward transacts in a genre we should all appreciate as historical fiction, a literary form consisting of narratives that take place in the past and that are characterized by an imaginative reconstruction of historical events and personages. Our culture is full of great examples of how valuable this genre can be. Go see Hamilton if you doubt it. So, he's, you know, you have to recall something that happened that you might not even have been there to have it happen. So we'll see where this goes. Carl, in the big picture, the president's has a party that's 13 points down in the generic poll. How do they save the House?
Well, by getting back to where we were in the middle of July. If you remember, we were this far behind last December, and we passed the tax cut and things got better. We fell behind a little bit, and then we came back. And by July, by putting the focus on, you know, the president went abroad, he had big achievements, looked like movement on Korea. And then, you know, we've had a bad mid-July to August into September. So the president ought to be focused on, and his people ought to be focused on, in my opinion, finding ways to put the public spotlight on what it is that they've done and, equally important, what it is that they want to do. And similarly for Republican candidates, they've got to say, I voted to cut your taxes. I voted to strengthen our military. I voted to cut unnecessary red tape and regulation. I voted to strengthen our economy and spread prosperity. And in the future, here are the things that I want to continue to work on. And if we do that, and contrast it with they want free health care for everybody, $32 trillion. They want free college for everybody. They want a free federal guaranteed job. They want higher taxes. They want more spending. And we can't afford that. That's not the agenda of middle America.
Tell me about Brett Kavanaugh, how you think he's doing. Here's the president from what he's seen so far. Cut 26.
I am. I'm happy with the Kavanaugh hearings. I watched today for a little while. I saw some incredible answers to very complex questions. He's an outstanding intellect. He's an outstanding judge.
How do you think he's done? You know him. You work with him. You know him well. How do you think he's done despite the theatrics?
I think he's done terrific, particularly with the contrast between the pop-up protesters who are, making us look like – they're making the Democrats and making our country look like some third-world banana republic. I mean, this is just embarrassing. This is I was shocked when Senator Dick Durbin, generally a sensible fellow – said in relationship to the protesters, you're seeing the voice of democracy. I mean, that is normalizing thugs coming into a congressional hearing and attempting to disrupt it. It's mob rule. And for Dick Durbin to say that is a sign of how little the Democrats have in the way of a case against Brett Kavanaugh. Look, he's my former colleague and friend. I admire the cast of the guy's mind. He's a brilliant human being. He's one of the most decent people you could ever imagine. And yesterday we saw the cast of his mind and the quality of his character and the answers to the questions that he gave. I mean, I love the moment where he and a member of the Senate were talking about their favorite parts of the Federalist Papers. And when he talked about, you know, talked about his enthusiasm for coaching. But most important of all, when he described what it is to be a good judge, this is what America wants. If a Republican president is going to appoint somebody to the Supreme Court, this is exactly the kind of person that Democrats ought to say, you know what, we wish a Democrat could make that appointment, but if a Republican's going to make it, let it be a person of quality and integrity like Brett Kavanaugh.
So listen, Carl, I know I'm not sure if you spent your morning even by the TV, because but the theatrics and fireworks started early as the Democrats had a plan. Senator Booker, in case people missed it, the New Jersey senator, injected chaos into the hearings by releasing confidential Kavanaugh emails with the backing of fellow Democrats in violation of Senate rules, calling it a blatant act of civil disobedience, and basically dared Cornyn and company and Grassley to throw him out of the Senate. What's going on here?
This is preening and auditioning for 2020, and it's a race between Kamala Harris and Cory Booker to see who could be the most outrageous left-wing demagogue and lunatic on the committee. Shame on him. Shame on him for embarrassing the rule, embarrassing the United States Senate. Shame on him for violating the rules of the Senate, all for his own political purposes. And, you know, normalize this behavior. Imagine how upset he would be if a Republican had done this on, you know, Justice Kagan or Justice Ginsburg or Justice Breyer or Justice Sotomayor. I mean, imagine how outraged he'd be if they were in the majority and then the Republicans flaunted the rules in such a cavalier fashion. I mean, this is where personal ambition destroys whatever character and integrity you have.
I hear you. So Kavanaugh is going to get through, I imagine, unless something else happens. Senator Schumer might do something. I don't want to bore people with the legalities, and I don't know the answer to this. Evidently, Schumer has enacted some type of rule that you can't have both the hearing go on and regular Senate business, so they might cut it off at 2 o'clock, meaning extending these hearings. Have you heard this?
Look, Senate committees meet regularly while the Senate is in session. But if they want to do it, fine. Because I'll tell you something. The chairman of this committee is a crusty old farmer from Iowa. And you remember on the first day he said, you know, your choice is let the committee run you or you run the committee. And he let them run. He let the committee run things the first day, hoping that they'd get it out of their system. Well, let me just tell you, that crusty farmer is going to have them in session whenever and however long necessary to get this thing done.
They want to give up their weekends. It's going to happen. They want to be working all night. That's what will happen, and I hope they realize that. A lot of these guys getting kind of old to be doing this for 20 hours, not to insult anyone, but that's what it's going to take. Hey, Carl, go ahead.
It's an embarrassment to our country and an embarrassment to the Democratic Party that they've fallen this far.
You sound like me. I usually say that, and you walk me down off the ledge. Now you put me on the ledge.
You know what? I listened to you talk about Colin Kaepernick, and that put me on the ledge, and I'm staying there the rest of the day.
I was trying to keep you away from that.
I listened to you this morning.
Thanks,
Mr. I listened to you this morning. Well done.
Thank you. Carl Rove, you're the best. Appreciate it.
All right, buddy.
1-866-408-7669. I'm going to take your calls next. Every line's jammed, but I try to get in there. I also got to remind you, too, that I'm going to be in Tampa, Nashville, and Virginia Beach. Go to BrianKilmeade.com, America Great from the Start. I'll go through America's early history, take your questions, talk politics, have a great time, be part of it, and get Andrew Jackson, Miracle of New Orleans, on paperback. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
It's Brian Kilmeade. Here's a special message for those of you who owe the IRS at least $10,000 or more in back taxes. The IRS has special programs in place that could eliminate or reduce your tax debt by thousands of dollars. Call the Federal Tax Management Helpline that has been set up for you, 800-233-8540. Stop the wage garnishments, levies, and tax liens now. Once you've qualified and enrolled, the IRS will stop all the collection activities against you. These unique programs have been allocated to help the economy and significantly reduce
reduce or eliminate your tax burden. The IRS is currently accepting reduced settlements and other favorable programs. You may qualify for substantial savings, so get the help you need. If you owe more than $10,000 in taxes, call for free information and to see if you qualify. Take down the number now for the Federal Tax Management Hotline, 800-233-8540. That's 800-233-8540. 800-233-8540.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-545-0785. That's 1-800-545-0785. Again, 1-800-545-0785.
Hey, you getting hungry?
Yeah, hungry as a bear.
Oh, yes, the eternal question. What's for lunch?
Fast food?
Nah, I want something that didn't come in a bag.
Someplace fancy.
No, I want a place that has a down-home atmosphere, serves good portions, and has consistently good food.
My friend, you just described Black Bear Diner. They started just up the road in Mount Shasta. They have carried that feeling of home-cooked meals at a great price to more than 100 locations.
They're on Hilltop Drive in Redding.
What's that? It's time to feed the inner bear.
Black Bear Diner.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Are you entertainment-minded? Do you like to hear people discuss fun topics?
Well, we talk about all things pop culture.
From movies and TV to books, music, games, and everything in between. But with a twist, everything is not very current.
We'll talk about things we recently discovered and have decided we just have to share our thoughts on.
Which gives us the title of our show.
We're a little behind.
Hosted by us, Chris and Jen Gomez.
Join us every Tuesday night from 6 to 7 p.m. for We're a Little Behind. Right here on Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460 AM.
Celebrate your history. Stillwater Powwow 2018, October 5th through October 7th at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. Beautiful dancers and amazing drummers sharing our culture. It's hand games, drum contests, vendors, and the history of our land. All proudly sponsored by Redding Rancheria and the Wind River Resort and Casino. Redding Rancheria Stillwater Powwow 2018, October 5th through the 7th at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. For information, call 225-8979 or visit stillwaterpowwow.com. Sharing our culture so that it may live on.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind, 1962.
Roger, the clock is operating. We're underway. A little bumpy along about here. Roger, zero G, and I feel fine. Capsule is turning around. Oh, that view is tremendous.
Let me ask you one simple question. Do you, Ambassador Zorin, deny that the USSR has placed and is placing medium and intermediate range missiles and sites in Cuba? Yes or no? Don't wait for the translation. Yes or no?
I am not in an American courtroom, sir, and therefore I do not wish to answer a question that is put to me in the fashion in which prosecutor does. In due course, sir, you will have your reply.
I'm prepared to wait for my answer until hell freezes over, if that's your decision.
You don't have Nixon to kick around anymore.
News as it happens. News as it happens.
This is Fox News Talk.
Bottom line is, this person says Trump's not serving the republic well.
Where I live in South Carolina, people are extremely pleased. He doesn't adhere to conservative principles. Everybody I know at South Carolina likes the judges, like the military, like the tax cut, likes the deregulation. They like what he's doing. So this person's view of the president he's serving, or she is serving, is out of sync with the people who elected him.
Senator Lindsey Graham. Just going to bat for the president. But I think he comes at it from a place in which he was a critic. Said he was unhinged. He said all these horrible things. He was best friends with McCain. He's got a chance to know him. The president's unorthodox. It doesn't mean he's unqualified. And that's what Lindsey Graham has seen up close. He basically said, I couldn't be president. America didn't want me to be president. But this guy's doing my agenda, and I love it for the most part. John, listening on FM News Talk 97.1 St. Louis. Hey, John.
Hey, I want more chaos. I drive for Pepsi. I got a $1,000 bonus from Pepsi thanks to the tax plan. And my CPA says my wife and I are going to save $1,100. You know what I really call chaos? Send millions of dollars to a terrorist country. And by the way, it allowed me to get unlimited data. I don't get to watch, but I listen to you on Fox and Friends in the morning. I can't get enough of Brian Kilmeade. It's terrible.
You know what? There's no cure for that. People have tried to get away from me, but you're better off just giving in. Thanks.
Well, I really appreciate your show.
And by the way, we really appreciate FM News Talk 97.1 St. Louis. You guys have been fantastic and appreciate your support, too. Chris, listening on Sirius 450 in California. Hey, Chris.
Hey, good morning, Brian. I am just so frustrated right now watching these hearings, and I can't believe we are going on 3 days of just hyperbole, vitriol, interruptions, craziness, and why on earth can't the Republicans have a little secret meeting before all this goes on and say, hey, look, this is what we're going to do. If an invited guest of one of these senators interrupts, they have to leave too. They leave with their guests. Out with their guests.
Corey, you saw what Cory Booker was trying to do there, get more publicity by being tossed.
Yeah, you know what? Fine. Toss them out. Let them go. And let's get something done today, you know. Bye.
Yeah, and by the way, at the White House, I totally agree. Call Rove, he knows it's tough. But, guys, just put it behind you. Mr. President, you got so much to do. By the way, General Mattis, his spokesperson, just weighed in. It is not him. We also know the National Intelligence Director, Dan Coats. He came out and said, it's not me. So it goes to show you that people are really worried. And Vice President Pence has come out through a spokesperson and said, it's not me. So for them to get to this point, it means that fingers are being pointed everywhere. Get over it, guys. It happens.
ACNR 1460, your town hall of the Shasta County airwaves with news and talk that matters to our community. Weekdays 9 to noon, The Laura Ingraham Show, your healthy radio addiction. Dave Ramsey from noon to 3, celebrating 25 years of answering life's tough money questions. And 3 to 6, Drive Home with Mark Levin, one of America's most popular conservative commentators and constitutional expert. KCNR 1460 with you throughout the day on your radio or streaming live. Miss a day, miss a lot.
North State Security is currently celebrating our 50th year of providing security services throughout the Northern California region. The next few moments I'd like to spend recruiting you as an employee of North State Security. What a better way to help make a difference in the quality of life we all deserve to experience in the greater Redding area. Becoming a licensed security officer here at North State Security is a fabulous way to help make Redding a safer place to reside and conduct business. Call us at 243-0295 or stop by our headquarters at 1970 Hartnell Avenue for more information. We are offering a unique opportunity right now. Join our ranks and immediately become eligible for winning a luxury houseboat for a week from Shasta Marina, $500 in meat from R&R Meats, or $500 shopping spree at Costco, all valued clients of ours. Becoming an employee of North State Security to win one of these exciting prizes and help make the North State a safer place to be. How can you beat an opportunity like that? North State Security, 243-0295, or visit personally, 1970 Hartnell Avenue, Redding.
The seasons are changing. Keeping your family healthy is important. So is the health of your car. The longevity and reliability of your vehicle depends on you to make sure your oil, radiator coolant, windshield wipers, and other vital systems have all been taken care of so your car can bring your healthy family through the seasons. If all you need is an in-cabin air filter change, come on in. No appointment necessary. Drive into Premier Oil Change today and experience the friendly oil change. Premier doesn't require an appointment, and you don't drop your car off or wait. Premier changes your fluids while you stay in the comfort and safety of your own car. Enjoy a free beverage and free Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. Earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palisadro in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park. Both locations get you a free car wash with every oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
The Affordable Spas Hot Tub Summer Financing Event is happening now through June 30th. Qualified buyers get 0% interest financing for 36 months. Transform your home into a personal wellness retreat today and start your path to better relaxation, sleep, joint, and muscle relief. When you buy from Affordable Spas, you're sure to have service after the sale. The Affordable Spas 0% Summer Financing Event now through June 30th. Affordable Spas, 885 Commerce Street, Reading. Subject to credit approval and terms and conditions apply. Affordable Spas for you.
From the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
On July 27, 1976, after months of legal wrangling, former Beatle John Lennon finally won residency in the U.S.
Well, it's great to be legal again. I'll tell my baby and I'll thank Yoko. And of course the Immigration Service are finally seeing the light of day, as they say. Good.
You want
thank
to
you.
That card,
yeah, I'd love to. I should have got a different picture.
What does it mean to you after 5 years of struggling to become a permanent resident to get that green card?
Well, it was a very slow, long struggle, so it's not like, you know, it suddenly ends. I'll come out of it slowly and I realize I can go to visit relatives in Japan, show them the baby, show them in England, you know, save them coming over here. And I can go visit the relatives and come back with safety now with the green card. How do you feel?
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk. Bonus track with Laura Ingle.
Taking you deep inside the music. Mick Jagger and Carly Simon not only did it once, but apparently twice. A duet, that is. A lost Mick Jagger and Carly Simon tune has been found more than 45 years after it was first recorded, believed to be named Fragile. The song was found recently on a tape owned by a Rolling Stone collector named Matt Lee. Now, you may have heard in the past Mick Jagger sang backup on Carly Simon's infamous song, You're So Vain, something that Simon says happened by chance when Jagger called a studio in London where she was recording in the 70s and asked her what she was doing.
I took the call and we're doing some backup vocals on a song of mine. Why don't you come down and sing with us? When shall I come? And I said, come down there.
As for this newly unearthed tune, Lee says he doesn't want money for the tape and has sent a digital copy of the song to Rolling Stone magazine because they promised to give it to Simon. Laura Ingle, Fox News.
Radio that makes you think. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
Believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything. So don't ask if your dreams are crazy. Ask if they're crazy enough.
Yeah, my dream is to be backed up by Gail Gabbert. I think it's his first name. Blaine Gabbert, excuse me. And while sitting on the bench, decide to the law enforcement is not fair to minorities. And next thing you know, you have a Nike ad without playing football. So he's done with the game, suing the sport, and now he's the face of Nike. And so far, on almost every level, Nike is paying the price for now. But we've had experts say in the long term, this puts Nike on edge. And we had Jim Gray here and say, remember the fist in the air, the Black Power. John Carlos, when his hand went in the air along with his, Tommy, his name eludes me right now, when his fist went in the air, they were vilified back then. They actually weren't wearing shoes either. Now there's statues for them. You're going to have a statue? You're going to have a statue for Colin Kaepernick? David Portnoy, who's one of the founders of Barstool, weighed in. Cut 45.
when you're a huge company like Nike, it's hard to stay edgy. It's hard to stay on top for that long. This brings edge to them. I think the old Nike that a lot of people know is not really the Nike that it is. They're a sneakerhead company. They're a cutting-edge, hip, urban company. If you go into the Nike stores, that's what they're selling, and they know their demo, and they will react to this.
Brian, listening on the TuneIn app in Newtown, North Dakota. Brian.
Oh, hey. How you doing, Brian?
Great.
First of all, I love the Super Beats. Thanks much. What I'm seeing here, I just did it. Actually, instead of just do it, I just did it. I just packed up my stuff, took it down to the Salvation Army, and donated anything that had Converse, Hurley, Nike on it. You know, kneeling has never changed a social issue. It is never changing it now, and it will never change it in the future. What I see here that's going on, I think is a great marketing ploy for Nike. For instance, if you put an order in, you're betting that a confident company, a good-sounding company, is going to fail, much like American Airlines and United did with Deutsche Bank at 9/11, just 3 days before. But anyway, what's happening is now they created a pseudo type of put order where they're not going to be – they're circumventing any insider trading issues. They know they knew they were going to dump it this way. They're hedging their losses. They're going to be making money on the downturn. Then they're going to turn around and make money coming back up. And as far as Kaepernick goes,
how do you make money when it comes down, though? This is Brian. What do you mean? They're going to make money going down?
You're betting. Yes, you're betting that a put order is betting that a solid company is going to have a failure. Okay. And so what they did is, if you went that route, what would happen? Is that you would have to also then be facing possible insider trading charges if there was insider trading. Now, for instance, what they've done is they've gone ahead and trashed it. They've already hedged their money against it. They trashed it. Now they're going, you know, they're circumventing.
Right. It's hard for me to believe that you could force the price, do something that forces the price of your stock down, and then it turns out you were betting it was going to go down. That, to me, is the definition of insider trading.
Well, yeah, but the thing of it is, by not putting a put order in, by just using the market, they've circumvented the insider trading.
Gotcha. Brian, we'll see what happens. You know, we'll talk in 6 months and a year and see if everyone thinks it's cool to wear Nike. Phil, listen on KZIM, Cape Girardeau, Missouri. Hey, Phil.
Hey, Brian. Great show as usual.
Thank you.
Two quick things. Got a college here in Missouri, the College of the Ozark, that dropped their ties with Nike. Just think what would happen if more schools did that. They might change their mind really quickly. I mean, if you got children in a public school or a college or a high school, you know, call them up and ask them, hey, do you like doing business with a company that mixes politics with education and school sports? I bet a lot of people would say no. And then number two, the NFL and Nike, I wouldn't be surprised if they're conspiring together. You got the first game of the season going on tonight. They've had ratings dropping for the last couple of years. Now Nike's running their commercial during that game. It's all the big buzz, try to get more people to watch. You know, I'm trying to change the narrative, change public opinion. I say don't watch. Don't give them the credit. If you got to see the commercial, go to YouTube and spend 2 minutes there.
I don't know. I know what you're saying, but I really like football. I enjoy coming back. I enjoy the game itself. Nike, you're right. I would not be surprised if the NFL was read into this. That would only explain why they've known about the blow up with their failed policy in May, and they've done nothing yet. Bonnie, listening in Utica, New York. Hey, Bonnie, WIBX.
Brian. Hi, Brian. Just a quick thing, and then I'll hang up. I think that showboater Cory Booker, if he is releasing what he thinks is not national security emails, then I don't think he can be trusted in that position. Who is he to make
that
decision?
He's daring to be tossed out of the Senate. You saw that,
and
right?
I think it's – I did. And I think it's time for the Republicans to grow up, get some guts, and escort him out.
Yeah, and then everybody else would do it, and then they'd get a big trial, and they'll look like sympathetic figures. Now they're at least going about the Q&A portion of this. But Cory Booker did release a classified document. Congratulations, and I'm sure he's going to fundraise off that too. I understand your frustration, Bonnie, and thanks so much for listening on WIBX. Let's say welcome in Matt Schlapp. Matt thought he was going to be on television today. Enough about these hearings. You're all ready to go on television.
I tell you, the fact that I got cut for Brett Kavanaugh is a high honor.
That's the story. Oh, it's an honor.
That's a high honor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think it's good that Fox is covering the hearings, don't you?
All right, so there's an anonymous source that says Match Slap was upset that Brett Kavanaugh preempted him. Is that true?
It is not true. I think people know I worked with Brett for 4 years in the Bush administration, and he is a rock star. He's going to be great on the Supreme Court. And by the way, the Democrats' antics have guaranteed that he will get confirmed. It's going to happen, and that's why the Democrats are just beside themselves.
Can you tell me procedurally? I'm trying to watch at the same time doing the show.
Sure.
Procedurally, what's going on? Schumer's going to take the reins at 2, stopping this hearing?
You know, that seems confusing to me because in the end, the minority has a lot more rights in the Senate than they do in the House. But in the end, these are just games. I think that's what everyone needs to understand. Procedurally, Chuck Grassley will call the vote at the committee when he wants to call that vote, and Mitch McConnell will make the decision on when that goes to the floor. The only thing the Democrats could do to delay this would be to have a filibuster against the nominee, and because the Democrats themselves are the ones that got rid of the filibuster on President Obama's nominees, that would be an easy vote to discard. There is nothing they can do to block him.
So you saw what happened yesterday.
Yes.
I can only imagine what your house was like last night because
wow.
Mercedes was, you know, in the middle of this.
Yes.
Now we know
it's
that
very dispiriting.
And we're talking about the anonymous editorial that says I'm a senior level official with Trump administration, and basically we spend on a daily basis, we overcome the president's instincts and beliefs. He is amoral and basically incompetent.
I think it was hard for my wife because, as she said, I talked to her this morning, actually as I was walking in to the studio here, Brian. And, you know, I think the discouraging thing for those people who believe in the president and believe in his agenda, and when you work for a president, as Mercy and I both have, they're not perfect people. But they're trying to do what they see is good for the country. And so Mercy's really committed to him and to his agenda and likes him, by the way. By the way, he treats her very decently. And for someone to treat the President of the United States like this is so disrespectful, and it's so dishonest, and it's so disgusting of the New York Times, who their coverage is to try to have a coup on the 2016 election, to try to wipe it from the history books, to get Trump out. And this, in conjunction with the Bob Woodward book, in conjunction with all the antics with Brett Kavanaugh, it's all about stopping President Trump from implementing his promises. He said he'd pick a judge off that list. He did it. They can't stop it, and they can't stand it. And you know what, Brian? The only way they can get him out of office is if they can push this impeachment thing, have the House get taken over by the Democrats, and try to do anything they can to stop people like Kavanaugh by bringing up any rumor, innuendo, anything. It's really disgusting to watch. This is a moment for the American people. I don't care what party you're in. This is a moment for them to watch this and say, you really think the Democrats should run the Congress?
I don't know who the senior official is, but let's say it's a legitimate senior official.
I have a top five. I'm not going to share it with you. But I think there's a substantial number of people around the president who don't like him, and they work for him, and I've never understood it.
You don't buy that there are hundreds of people that fit the description of senior
I think there is, because if you notice, the New York Times said Trump administration, so they didn't say White House. So this could be somebody working at the UN. It could be somebody working at an embassy overseas. There's thousands and thousands of people this could be, and I know of people that work for the president in high positions who just they don't like them, and I don't understand that.
A couple of things. Let's say it is somebody we know. Let's say it's somebody with everybody knows. And you're running a newspaper, and they say, listen, I know I work for the president. I look like I get along with him, but it's chaos. Here's my editorial. I'd like you to publish it. I think most newspapers would publish it. If it was Barack Obama, do you think that they publish it?
No.
If it's somebody, you don't believe they publish it?
Because they never have in the history of their paper. This has never happened.
Ever.
This is history. They never do this. Why would you never do this? Because the whole idea of an editorial, even the editorial board has to list the members of the editorial board. The whole idea of that is it's somebody's opinion. If you get into this idea where we're going to start having anonymous editorials.
But they know who it is.
They know who it is. They know exactly who it is.
So can you
And by the way, we'll know who it is soon. This secret, unless it's completely fabricated, which I don't think the New York Times would do, I think we're going to find out who this person is relatively quickly.
Matt Schlapp in studio. Matt, this is with the Washington Post reporting that all work stopped yesterday, that everyone canceled their meetings because it was so, like you said, it's unprecedented.
No, this is the
is
gossip.
That true?
That's not true. This is the gossip around the White House that I think is just, it's cancerous. It's, you know, it's the idea that the White House, the president's in a tirade and everybody's walking around on eggshells and everyone's demoralized. And it's sometimes I read that coverage and I was in the White House that day and nothing could be further from the truth. Look, I think for the people working in press and comms, this was a gut punch because it's one of their teammates. Yeah, it's one of their teammates. It's somebody who's put their – think about it. They put their hand on the Bible and put their hand in the air and took an oath. And part of that oath was that they would be faithful to the office that they're taking, and they're doing exactly the opposite of that. And that's a hard thing. You're in meetings with people, and you can't necessarily trust them, Brian.
But what they said, this is an excerpt. To be clear, ours is not to be the popular resistance of the left. We want the administration to succeed and think that many of its policies have already made America safer and more prosperous. But we believe our first duty to the country and the president continues to act in a manner that is detrimental to the health of our republic. So they say they are being patriotic by sticking around and preventing an incompetent president from destroying the country.
Let me put this in different words. I worked for a president. You never agree completely with the president you serve. You're trying to help the president. And you take, I talked about the oath. There is an idea that you're going to get confidential information, and you're going to be discreet with that information, and you're going to be loyal to the person you work for. I'm okay with people working for Trump who disagree with Trump. Maybe they disagree with him on wide swaths of policy, but they're there to try to help him. I'm okay with those people. What I'm not okay with is what this is.
Right.
This is a vindication effort to try to find a way to have a career and to get the respect of these never Trump and the establishment after they leave the Trump administration. I think the person who wrote this is someone who knows either that they won't have a job for very much longer, they know they're probably going to get fired after the midterm, and because they hate Trump so much, when they leave his orbit, they need to find another job inside the swamp.
And they want to make sure he's not successful in the midterms? You think that's part of it?
No, I think they want to make sure that they have a bridge to their next career when they're done, because a lot of people don't. Look, there's a downside for working for Trump, for my wife. There's a downside to advocating for Trump and his policies because there are people that hate him so much. I had a woman walk up to me at a restaurant the other day. She goes, "You seem like a delightful person. I love seeing you on television, but I'll never be your friend if you support Trump." That exists in the world. We have to acknowledge that there is a downside for working for Trump. My wife is willing to take the downside because she believes in him. There are people working for him who don't believe in him. It was all about their career and their own advancement, and they're trying to figure out how they get out and survive.
Matt, my opinion for the president, he's looking around and he's really upset. I would imagine. Yeah, okay. Which is what I would do tomorrow. I would say Ivanka and Jared, who he trusts implicitly, or another family member, Lara. You say, listen, you guys are going to be at all my major meetings. I'm not asking you to participate. I just want you to say, you know me. So I want you to be there. I want you to broker. I need somebody to look to my right whose judgment I trust. So I'm not a Treasury expert. I'm not a foreign trade expert. I'm not great. I can't tell you what's wrong with Pakistan's new leadership. But that's no president knows everything about everything. But he needs somebody next to him that understands him. Because say I was there. Hey, Dad, today's not a good day for you. Or guys, this is not good. Somebody that's got his back. His chief of staff is great, but not necessarily great with the president. Secretary of State is great with the president. His defense secretary is great, but maybe they don't see eye to eye on everything. But if you could put an intermediary that he trusts, then you could start putting out a lot of these fires, because their objective is to make a successful administration. You might need that.
Could I react to that?
Yep.
It's really interesting. But by the way, Brian, this goes on in every presidency, this whole idea of who's loyal, who's leaking. It's always going on in the Trump era. It's just that we all read about every aspect of it because he has too many people working for him who actually don't like him.
I hear you.
And so, I think it's getting better over time with Larry Kudlow and, you said, Mike Pompeo's elevation and John Bolton and these people who he likes, Bill Shine, these people who he likes and he respects and he listens to. He knows what he needs around him now more than he did 2 years ago.
Good. Matt, hold that thought and a few more because we have a few more minutes on the other side. Matt Schlapp has been kicked off the air by his good friend and he's okay with it. Back in a moment.
Coming to you on a need-to-know basis because, man, do you need to know. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
No holds barred talk, can't miss documentaries, specials, and more. Plus, your favorite Fox News personalities. This is our time, and this is going to be our place. Fox Nation, coming soon. Sign up for updates and be the first to know. Go to FoxNation.com now. The Fox News Rundown is a weekly morning podcast that dives deep into the major and controversial stories of the day. Hosted by the anchors of Fox News Radio. Subscribe now to hear a perspective of news you won't find anywhere else. Find it now on FoxNewsPodcasts.com.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-545-0785. That's 1-800-545-0785. Again, 1-800-545-0785.
Martha McCallum.
We only have an hour with our viewers every evening. We want to make it count for them. We want them to know that they can trust us. So we do our homework. We try to cut through the noise. We try to cut through the hysteria. We're not here to jump on a bandwagon. We're here to drill down on the facts. We know that we live in complicated times. We want to peel that back, and we want to give everybody a sense that when they come to us, we will give it to them straight.
On Fox News Channel, real news, real honest opinion.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
NHL star Matt Martin for American Humane.
Hi, I'm Matt Martin, and in all my years of playing professional hockey, I've gotten my share of bruises and injuries. But for many who really put their lives on the line every day, it's not always the injuries you can see that hurt the most. I'm talking about our veterans. Every single day, 184 veterans are diagnosed with post-traumatic stress. And tragically, 20 take their own lives. When medications and therapy don't help, professionally trained service dogs can. American Humane, serving the U.S. military for over 100 years, has put together a free guide to help veterans obtain these life-saving service animals. If you are a veteran or know a veteran struggling with PTS, please go to AmericanHumane.org for this free, downloadable resource. Let's give our veterans the help they need to win their battle.
For more information, visit AmericanHumane.org.
You know, this time of year in Shasta County, the need to heat your home is probably the last thing on your mind, right? Well, my friend SSD Oil says this is the ideal time to trade in your old monitor heater on a spanking new Toyotomi and save yourself up to $250. Your qualifying model monitor heater earns you a huge allowance on a Toya stove that will keep you warm and cozy all winter long. This deal is as hot as a running sidewalk in summer. SSD Oil, 241-1167, 241-1167.
Some of the quotes that we popped up at Axios AM this morning you haven't seen yet are quotes that show how much they try to coddle this president or dumb things down for him. So there's one point where they say that they gave him a Reader's Digest version of a briefing on Hezbollah. There's a moment where the president is watching TV in his dining room right there next to the Oval Office, and his Homeland Security and cyber advisor walks in and says, Mr. President, can I have a minute? When your cyber advisor says, can I have a minute? You say yes. But the president said, I want to watch the Masters.
With us now is Matt Schlapp. That was Mike Allen, of Axios, telling a story that was reiterated to him. Matt, between this and the Woodward book and the
By the way, that's an absurd story.
Right.
No, let me just say, most presidents, you're not allowed to walk in on them. In order to even get their attention, you have to have an appointment, or you have to call his secretary, or
especially now with Kelly.
And you have to work the chief of staff's office. So the idea that the organization was that flat, mm-hmm. where you could walk into the reception off the Oval Office and just talk to the president, shows you how willing he was to talk to anyone anytime it was serious. And the answer from the president was a perfectly reasonable answer, which was basically, hey, if it's not an emergency, this isn't a chit-chat time for me, which is why most presidents make it so you actually can't go to the door. If I could tell you how many times President Bush's closest advisors from Texas were turned away from the Oval Office when they were used to just walking in. They could no longer walk in when he became the president. That's the way it works in most White Houses. You cannot criticize mm-hmm. Trump for being too open, because that's exactly what one of the issues was. He was willing to talk to anyone.
Prediction. Are we going to find out who this is?
We're going to find out who this is, and I think we find out who this is in a matter of days, less than a week.
What changes afterwards?
After this anonymous thing? I think all of this is helping the president. This is about a coup to get him out of office, and I think the American people are growing, with the Kavanaugh hearings as well, repulsed by the Democrats' tactics.
Let's see how it goes. Matt, thanks so much.
Thanks,
Appreciate
Brian.
Here's a special message for those of you who owe the IRS at least $10,000 or more in back taxes. The IRS has special programs in place that could eliminate or reduce your tax debt by thousands of dollars. Call the Federal Tax Management Helpline that has been set up for you, 800-233-8540. Stop the wage garnishments, levies, and tax liens now. Once you've qualified and enrolled, the IRS will stop all the collection activities against you. These unique programs have been allocated to help the economy and significantly reduce or eliminate your tax burden. The IRS is currently accepting reduced settlements and other favorable programs. You may qualify for substantial savings, so get the help you need. If you owe more than $10,000 in taxes, call for free information and to see if you qualify. Take down the number now for the Federal Tax Management Hotline, 800-233-8540. That's 800-233-8540. 800-233.
You know, this time of year in Shasta County, the need to heat your home is probably the last thing on your mind, right? Well, my friend SSD Oil says this is the ideal time to trade in your old monitor heater on a spanking new Toyotomi and save yourself up to $250. Your qualifying model monitor heater earns you a huge allowance on a Toya stove that will keep you warm and cozy all winter long. This deal is as hot as a running sidewalk in summer. SST Oil, 241-1167, 241-1167.
I think one great benefit to having a Turtle Bay membership, I love that it's one place we can go to and bring our family, and there's something for everybody. There's activities for our one-year-old to do, and there's also exhibits and things for our six-year-old to do, and it's just a good variety of things for all ages.
We're members of Turtle Bay because I think education is really important, and I think kids need to learn that they can learn out of the classroom and learn in real life, and I think Turtle Bay brings that experience to them as they can see things that they see out and about outside of school and learn something.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.